United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go! Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. Today is Wednesday, and it is the 14th. Can you believe the 14th of May? Time is progressing, and I hope you are too. It's Six and I are here in studio. He's beginning to hate my song, but it just works for me. So what? I know the sun is shining.
Yeah, it's
too
not,
bad.
It's not raining.
It rained all night long. Why do you have a shirt on that says taxes? We don't need no stinking taxes. That's why we got to go happy, see?
That's right.
What am I going to do with you guys? Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. And I've got a guest coming in. Dr. Hill's going to come and hang out with us sometime this morning. And tomorrow I'm going to be talking with a young lady. We're going to be talking about progressives. And we're going to be talking about, did you know that there was a progressive summit?
I didn't know that.
And
there, sure there is.
And there is there's a conference that's actually mm-hmm. called, let me get this right, it's called, White Privilege.
I heard about that one.
It's so there's a conference for educators. It talks about white privilege.
I saw the articles on that. It's not just for educators. It's there.
It's for people.
Anybody.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow. I did not know that. Oh, man. And it's put on by progressives to talk about how, about racism and what they teach teachers to teach. We're going to talk about some crazy stuff. And then there's some stuff going on in America. And, as long as I'm on, we're going to have some really good conversations coming up because I've got some major issues about what people are doing and how people are doing things. And I don't think everybody knows this undercurrent of systemic change that people are making in America that I think we're going too far.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on that really, really worry me. Really, really worry me.
Yeah, I don't think we understand it's gone too far.
You know, you've got... Well, I saw some articles on this white privilege thing, and
yeah,
I had no idea that I was so privileged.
Well, you are.
I don't think anymore. I think it's got more to do with the financial situation of a family than it does race anymore.
Well, race still plays a part, I don't want anyone to think that it doesn't. Racism is still systemic in America. It is. Because the perceptions of people's minds are still shaped the same.
So the fact that we elected a black president doesn't really matter.
No, because there are people that did not vote for him just because he was black. There are people that don't vote for black people.
Well, there are black people that don't vote for white people too.
We're still talking about race, and we're talking about people in power. I mean, I can't say that all things being equal, that we are colorblind, because we're not. I'm not going to say that. And the system is designed to make sure that the mindset of people still think that white is always right. It is still designed for that, and I'm not going to say that it's not, because it is.
Then how come black culture is so popular in the white community?
Because black
music,
because black
dress.
Because white people have an entertainment affinity for black culture, but when it comes to making them believe that they're equal with everyone else, I don't believe that. They still believe that they are superior to them, and it may not be in the forefront of their mind, but I believe that it is in the back of their mind.
I don't know about that. I really don't.
And the reason why I say that, even when I travel inside of other circles, you can tell that people, that they are very gun-shy of you being there. And during the break, I'll tell you a case in point.
Well, you've told me other circumstances where
yeah,
people just plain stupid.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
and you can't fix it.
No, you can't fix it.
But you have to realize that people are indoctrinated, and it's changing. But the change is not changing for the best. The change is changing for the utopia, but it's not changing for the best.
The thing is, since we've elected President Obama, we were supposed to become a post-racial society.
No, we weren't.
Well, that was the claim that was made.
By who?
Big shot.
They don't know what they're talking about.
All the commentators. But what has happened, I think President Obama has actually done a disservice, because every time somebody disagreed with him, he cried racism.
He didn't cry it. The media did.
Well,
he didn't cry. You never heard him cry it. The talking heads did. The people did.
Okay, his supporters did.
The supporters did, but he didn't.
Right, okay.
But everything was not racism, but he has not helped the situation, don't get me wrong. But with that being said...
Well, just like with Professor Gates.
Right.
Why did he weigh in on that? Why would a president...
Because he was a novice. Because if I had been president, I would have weighed into it. I would have weighed into you arresting a man for trying to get in his own home and it being Professor Gates. Especially when I had a relationship with him, me knowing who he was. I mean, get a relationship.
Yeah, but you don't think he? I mean, he certainly should have some advisors.
No. He was too novice. It was too much of a novelty. It was too new.
Okay.
But what happened, and I believe with President Obama is President Obama forgot he was black or never knew he was black.
Well,
and,
yeah, his experience, his life experience, is way different than yours.
Correct.
And Jeff's.
And when I say that, when he walked into a room with his chest out in front of a group of white men and told them, elections have consequences, that's where he shot himself in the foot, right there. That was his...
John, I won.
Pretty much.
That's what he said. That was his exact words.
Correct. That was his biggest... That was one of his biggest mistakes. So you remember White Men Can't Jump, the movie about basketball?
I've never seen it, but I know about it. Yeah.
The sum total of the whole movie was, sometimes when you win, you lose.
Right.
And sometimes you have to take low to become high. And you can't walk in a room of white men, still in America, as a black man, and tell them, boy, sit down, shut up, I am the head person in charge here.
I don't think anybody could do that.
No, you can't. A white man can do that.
I don't think George could have got away with that either.
Yes, he can, because he's white. White can always do white, but black can't do white like that. Because remember, Bright Gumbel was cocky. A white man is savvy. There's a difference. And we need to understand that how people view black people, you can't walk in there and tell them I'm all that and a bag of chips in front of a room of white men and think that American society is going to say, oh, it's okay, it's good, we're all one, I love you. It doesn't work that way, because in their mind you're still inferior to them. And it may not be in the forefront of their mind, it may not be on their mind, but in the back of their mind, they are supreme.
See, I still think that was just bad politics.
No. This is course.
I don't think anybody could have got away with that.
No. You can't do that. I don't care who you are. There are black businesses that in this country that lay low and don't do what other businesses do, because the white man will kill you. It's just that simple.
I don't know about that.
I'm being honest with you. That's what I'm saying. You don't believe what I'm saying, but what I'm telling you is very, very true.
I can't. I don't know.
But
that's my libertarian.
Because even if I go down to where you live in the rural areas, they still have a preconceived notion of what black is or what the Negro is. Good morning. Who's that? I think that is Alabama.
No, it's me right here.
That's what I said, Alabama. Good morning.
Well, no, that was somebody else making those noises, but the fact that a person of white heritage owns most of the wealth, they own most of the business, control 90% of the stuff in this country, more than that, actually. The average black household is worth, 20 times more and net worth, and it's just to sit up here. I mean, when you go for a job interview, you have to wear a white European suit, not white in color, but white. Wear something from white culture. You have to speak English. The fact that in every country around this world, in order to get a job, you have to know English. I mean, when I've been to a bunch of countries, in every country I've been in, if you don't speak English, you're probably not going to get a job.
But you know, that's a little bit different.
That's just
the Europeanized methodology of thinking. I'm talking about if you go in there with a blue suit, white shirt, and red tie, which is the power suit, you already walk in there, unless they're looking for a black male because they're trying to fill a void for whatever reason. In most circles, and maybe not as much today as it has been in the past, you're still walking in there with a different mindset than you do when the white man walks in. It just is what it is.
Tony Brown wrote a book, White Lies or whatever. What is it? I forget the name of it. But in that book, he talked about how blacks get jobs. In order for a black person to get a job, a lot of times they have to have something that seems to be in a white culture, like their mannerisms or their idiosyncrasies need to line up with white culture. Whereas, what he was saying is that when white people hire white people, they hire white people a lot of times because they feel like they have a lot in common. I'm white, you're white, we have the same background, same family heritage, so to speak, in a way. But when it comes to blacks, they come in, they don't have that same culture. They don't have that same heritage. And so to say it's not privileged, and it's been documented, it's been documented up until like early 2000s, a black person come to get along, a white person come to get along, is higher interest rate. A lot of times they get turned down. They make them have to bring in way more documents. This is no fact. This is on the record.
What I'm trying to say is gone too shallow. I'm trying to go a little bit deeper than that. It has absolutely nothing to do with what you wear. It has absolutely nothing to do.
I'm not even talking about clothes no more. I'm talking about loans.
But even with bank loans, by your zip code. But zip codes came in. Zip codes came in, and it was redlining. That was just based on, again, a preconceived notion. But I'm talking about today. The way people, when President Obama walked into that room and told John, I won, elections have consequences. That was the worst thing he could have ever said to a room of white men.
President Obama is a puppet for white men.
What he said in that room publicly actually rung across the whole nation privately. Because remember, people out in rural America did not like him standing up like that. They wanted it's just a subliminal thought and message. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Tracy, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I think you're pegging this wrong. I really do.
You believe we're in a post-racial society?
A post-racial society. I think we're in an a-racial society. Listen. The only color that matters in this country right now is green, and the quicker we understand that, the better off we will be. I mean, come on.
Here's
the problem you run into. When you look at what happened with Silver yesterday, the man sounded like a daggone idiot. But at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to matter is the fact that the man has more money than dirt. And that's what's going to be the determining factor on whether he is successful in America anyway. He can hide behind his money. His car has no bearing.
I disagree with you wholeheartedly. Don't get me wrong. What he said, when I look at Donald Sterling, I feel sorry for the man because he is an old man who is talking. He's almost to see now. He don't even know where he's going. And I feel sorry for him and what's going on with this because I pity him. But when it looks when you look at a post-racial society and you look, and we, that's not where we are now. Now, don't get me wrong. The talking heads have fueled the fire and caused it to become a very bad place in America. But money does not change how you are perceived subliminally by white Americans, because black Americans still think white is right. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges.
What you doing, man? Cleaning out your closet or something?
Say what?
I say, what you doing, man? You making a lot of noise. What you doing?
No, that's not me. I'm just sitting here in my office.
You South Carolina. I'm talking about somebody making a lot of noise. Like,
that's
got to
be Eric, bro. That's Eric.
Yeah, it's kind of like he in there doing spring cleaning or something.
I don't know what Eric didn't have going on. He had a radio program, some music playing one day, and he needs to understand. He needs the mic.
Just mute his mic and just go chill, man. When he won't feel like talking, just come back to the mic. Donald Sterling made a real interesting point. I think a lot of people are going to gloss over it. When he said black people don't, when they get money, they don't help each other.
Listen, hey, Alabama, when he said that, and he made another comment. He made the comment about when he was talking about Magic Johnson, and he said, what has Magic Johnson done to the black community? How much are you giving to the Children's Hospital? And I'm like,
That guy can sit in his seat where he's actually giving more money to the black community than Magic Johnson. There's something wrong with that picture. I understand. Call him racist. Okay, fine. We can get over that now. Let's look at what the crux of what he's saying. And I think he's right. I think a lot of black people, when they get two nickels to rub together, they don't give back. That's the truth.
Sterling was about to break down how racism and white supremacy work. You notice that he stopped himself right before he was about to reveal exactly how they work, because he had said, "Oh, well, we Jewish people, we do this, and we don't charge no interest. We set up a system of such and such. Hey, there's a whole lot of money. Somebody just turned on the water."
Yeah, I'm trying to listen to you. I'm riding down the highway. I'm listening to you.
Oh, yeah, it's loud, man. Well, okay, but I'm saying he was just about to break it down. And he said, well, black people, they don't, and he stopped right there. Because he was about to say, black folks don't have a system of racism that they practice. But the Jewish people, they have a system of racism
that
they
Jewish
practice.
Code. Go be the man. You read the Jewish code.
I got all that knowledge, man. I know I have to read a specific book because I have all that knowledge already from various different sources.
I think we need to, as blacks, need to look at the Jews as a blueprint, because the Jews were hated too. And look at what they do with their money, how they operate, what they do. And I think he's right, man. A lot of these black athletes, like, what's his name? Jason Black posted about Joe Montana's about to put up a big hotel right next to the where the San Francisco 49ers play. Like, where are the black players that can do this? There aren't any. But there should be when the league is 80% black. What's wrong with that picture? 5% of our guys are, what is it? Like 85% of them are bankrupt 5 years after getting out of the league. I mean, it's how you manage your money.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about on that. But the thing is, the black athlete who's successful usually comes from that inner city hood. You know, unlike maybe Kobe Bryant might be the exception, but most of them just come from the hood. Single moms from the hood want bling, want women. Want big cars and big houses. That's, and they're 18 to 21 years old when they enter the league and start getting money. Their mind never developed the idea of entrepreneurism. Their idea of making money is just dribbling the ball. That's what they taught when they were in school. I mean, when they were little kids. You make money by dribbling the ball.
I agree with you, but let's look at guys like Carson Palmer and a lot of these white athletes in the league. These guys keep their wealth. They sustain their wealth. It's sad when you come from a situation And like the other day, they talking about those guys went and bought $150,000 worth of gold chain necklaces and stuff before they even got drafted. That's the problem.
Yeah,
that's the problem
right
there.
But you understand that Carson Palmer and Joe Montana's come from a system. When they grew up, the white folks, they were running white supremacy already. They just said, this is you getting your money.
On,
you're getting your money. You getting your money, and this is what you do with it. You integrate it into the system of white supremacy. Black folks didn't have those systems.
Dude.
They coming from the ghetto. They getting tennis shoes and cars.
Hold on, South Carolina. Before you interject, the statistics actually support what Covina Man just said, because white athletes don't go broke like black athletes. Why is that?
Because they have a different outlook on things. And it's not
exactly
white supremacy.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's the thing. You ever heard of Nanny Burrows? You ever heard of Nanny Burrows? Google her and pull up the 12 things that the Negro must do for himself. The Negro must put more time and effort into building himself and building his business than having a good time. Instead of trying to look good, he need to try and build something for his future instead of spending money and doing stuff.
I don't think what Covina Man said is just opposed to what you said. I think he's right. I think you're right, and I think Covina Man will agree with that. But there are certain structures. If I'm black and my cousin owns is a hedge fund manager and I play in the league, chances are I'm not gonna go broke like my black counterparts.
But here's the thing, man. I grew up poor, okay? But I didn't grow up poor. My mom taught me, hey, listen, you want to be successful, you can be successful. Nobody can stop you from doing that. But there are certain principles that you learn, you know, if you make $3, you put one of them away, okay?
Yourself.
You save your money.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no need to go out there and spend all your money. And that's not something that's just – something that's just, you know, exclusive to white folks, man. That's something that's basic. That's a biblical principle.
AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, you guys, do you just hear static in the line? Hello?
No? No.
You
hear
static
no.
in the line.
Must be internal because
yeah.
I'm hearing it.
Yeah, we got some bad static coming through here. So I got to go find me an engineer soon. The number is 347-945-5229. It is an open mic. I've got Dr. Hill coming in, and he should be here fairly shortly. And we were talking, I don't know how we got here.
Tracy.
Yes.
Let me interject. We were talking during the break. I don't know if you were listening. When people hear the word white privilege, it's not that black people are saying you go in, hey, you're white. Here's $100,000. Start your business. That's not what we're saying. That's not how it works. So when people hear white privilege, don't think that, okay, all the black guys are gone. Okay, now let me give you this. Go over here. This guy's going to give you $1 million, and then you go. No, we don't think. I don't think it works like that. That's not how, when they say black privilege, that's not what they're talking about.
Yeah, well, let me interject real quick, too.
To that extent, Tracy, you know, I've heard it said, you know, well, when Koreans come over here, they get certain tax breaks and so on and so forth, and they, you know, they don't have to pay taxes for a certain amount of years. That's not true. That is not true. The problem is if you have a mindset that says every dollar I get, I'm going to spend on having a good time, you're not going to be very successful in business.
That was the question.
Well,
you know that Asians take more minority laws
than anybody else.
Hang on a second, Alabama. That's what I wanted to ask you about the net worth thing. Do you think that's a behavior thing?
A lot of it's behavior patterns.
Behavior patterns.
Let me say this. Let me say it this way. Let me say it this way. Because of systemic division, it causes people to want to feel good. So feel good people want a right now moment.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of them actually preparing for a future, they use their resources to compensate for their rejection now.
So you're saying it's a racial inferiority complex.
No, what it is to overcome my to overcome my bad feelings about how things are, I go out and I do a feel good moment. So when women are depressed, they go out and buy lipstick. When things are going bad in a person's life, they go out and try to compensate themselves with something. So if I'm not feeling good or if I'm having a bad day, I go out and try to buy my way into an entertainment so I don't have this feeling that I once had of reality. Hold on, Kavina, man. Go ahead, Alabama.
What I was saying was, I differ with you, Tracy, in that, it's a mindset, and I will agree with that. I think blacks need to be more responsible. I think that it'll change our situation. I do believe that. I think it'll fix most of our problems. I believe because a lot of them are economic. But at the same time, why we got here and how we got here, you have to look at systematic approaches that have been taken against the community, from housing through real estate through wealth, that have been systematically denied to people of color. And I think that is what has set people back, and then it perpetuates itself from there. The ignorance comes from you not being challenged, you not being able to go to that school, you being placed in a certain community, like a guy like Donald Sterling, who's denying people apartments in certain housing areas because they can go to certain schools. If they go to that school, they'll get around certain people and they'll get certain opportunities. It's all connected, interconnected. The property
taxes stop
people from being able to really move up that ladder as well. It's not just
not the sum,
that these people
that's
are just
not
lazy.
The sum total. That's not the sum total of what this is. This is a, if you're talking about a systemic problem, you got to go to the root of it. See, the root of it is not the school that I go to, because right now you can go to the best schools right now and you still not come out with an education that you deserve. And we still live above our means and we still hide our poverty. There are a lot of different things that go on. And a lot of it has to do with, hold on. And a lot of it has to do with a feel-good moment. Go ahead, Covina, man.
Okay, no, both of you guys are right. You guys right now, both the points you guys are making are both right. So I'm not going to interject. I'm just on that. Both of you guys are right. But what I'm saying is, and I only got a couple of minutes, I'm at work, but the idea like the white privilege conference is finally someone actually addressing and talking about racism. Instead of the whole talking heads, people debating on some such, the way they actually trying to do it is breaking it down from its roots. You're talking about the roots. So you got to break it down, racism, from the roots of the racism. Where did it come from? What happened over time? That's what I was trying to say before to you guys a number of times before. You have to go through year by year, decade by decade, and explain how it became the way it is now. How do you have black folks now who are ignorant and shucking and jiving and trying to make the money off that? That didn't just come from, we didn't just step off the boat shucking and jiving. That stuff came from a reason. There was a reason why you have a ghetto full of black poor people and then suburbs full of white rich people. It's not just attitude. The attitude came from somewhere. That's what you have to understand. Where did that come from? How did it come from? It came from the laws. It came from the government. It came from white supremacy. That's where it's coming from. So the conference.
Stop right there. I have a problem with us trying to depend on the government to change our problems.
Yeah, because they're the ones that created the problems.
You got to understand, you said something right there which has hit the nail on the head. The problem that I have with everything that we always talk about is us depending on the government is the reason why we're here. The people that we have allowed to go inside of our government system, the laws we allow to get creative, the laws that have happened in this nation. This is why I am against us going to the government for our freedom. Freedom comes from the people, not from the government. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, because they did what they did on purpose. So why would they have any reason at all to fix it?
Yeah, well, I'm not even going to disagree with that, but I'm saying that was before a time when, remember, black folks only got the right to vote for real recently within your and my lifetime.
That's
so
not
you're talking
true.
About laws.
That's not true. There were black congressmen from all of the southern states right after the Civil War.
Yeah, that's Reconstruction, but we need to vote in here.
Answer me this, Covina, man. Do you have to pass a law to make somebody do something they want to do?
Yeah, sometimes you do. Yeah, speed limits.
No.
All
do you
kind
have
of
to
restrictions.
Pass a law? Do you have to pass
yes,
a law
yes,
to make
you do.
Somebody
yes,
do
yes,
something
yes, you
that
do.
They
yes.
want to do?
No, Camille.
Oh,
you
yeah, one, two. Oh, no. No,
one,
no
two,
I misunderstood you. No.
Okay. All right. The Jim Crow laws were government-forced segregation. They were laws that to stop people from integrating. The marriage laws were all put in place to stop interracial marriage. So it is the government that has fostered this racism, and it is the government
right.
that has forced
right.
this racism. But yet people
right,
like
I agree.
You
stop
continually
right
want to go to the government to fix the problem that they
yes.
they started.
And hold on, and let
okay,
me
yes.
say this also.
Yes,
let me,
let's
let
break
me
that
say
down.
This. And the government, and the government
yes.
will never be the resolve of your problems. And we
right.
keep on depending on programming. Right now, when we talk about education, Common Core is not going to fix the problem what's going on in our community. It's not going to make people take care of their children.
Right, Trina, I don't want to get distracted by the Common Core, but I want to get down to
this is actually tomorrow's topic. White privilege is tomorrow's topic. I just brought it up. But what I'm and I have a guest coming on by the name of Stacey Washington out of St. Louis. But we have to really understand, I don't agree with the white privilege conference, but people need to understand that white privilege is, the lack of information of the definition of what they're saying is absolutely needs to be discussed. But the definition that you have usually is wrong. Like Alabama said, it's not about having, a different set of rules and standards for you, but just the color of your skin, it's like blonde. When you say beautiful in America, everybody thinks about Barbie. It is what it is.
Right.
And it has been indoctrinated into a purpose and into a people to believe
right.
that white is beautiful. Thin is beautiful. Blue eyes are gorgeous. Dark skin
right. okay,
is not as pretty as white skin. It is has been indoctrinated
yet,
to believe that.
But yet white people spend
yeah,
Tracy
and Stace,
they don't
want to
be
tasty,
but
issue.
They don't want to be black.
Yeah, Tracy and Stace, let me get on this one issue. You guys said the government is not the source and such and such. I mean, you're true. I'm not going to deny that, but I want you to put that into context. What type of government, who was in charge? Remember, you have Southern people who can't stand black people. They were in charge trying to make those laws. So it's different than saying if I'm going to go to the Southern white people and say, yeah, we're going to come up with some laws. No, I'm not going to trust them. Zero.
Listen to what
no
I'm
trust
saying.
There.
Listen, right now, when we talk about voter rights and we're talking about when we talk about the civil rights and how they're eroding the civil rights of African Americans because they shot down the 9 states no longer have to go to the federal government before they change their voting laws, and we cry, oh, my God, because the Supreme Court says all 50 states should have to report to somebody, and the Congress needs to make a law to where it's going to be uniform. But you can't just single out 9 states anymore. And everybody says, oh, hold on. They're trying to erode the way things are done now. And we're going, no, listen to the logic of this. You've got 9 states. 9 southern states, Arizona, Mississippi, and a couple and the other 7. But there are other states out there, the 42 states that are left behind, that don't have to do that. So you need to create a law and or regulation to where if you're going to change a law, it has to be equal to all 50 states, not just 9. And everybody gets up and says, oh, my God, they're trying to do voter suppression. That's just crazy.
Can you deal with my issue?
It's all the same. I'm just trying to show you how people are playing games with people talking about, white privilege, voter suppression, and how the government, when they try to correct a wrong that is going on right now. Right now in the state of Ohio, you have 35 days to vote. You can vote by mail. You can walk in and or you can go to the polls, whatever you want to do. But because we closed 2 days before Election Day and you can't bust people on that Sunday morning before Election Day and do a soul through the polls, oh, my God, they're trying to do voter suppression. Hey. No, they're trying to make sure things are correct. If you ask somebody for an ID, that is not voter suppression. But what they're doing is they're playing games with the minds of people. And we need to take the government out of this, stand on our own 2 feet, and make it to where people understand that voting is a right and a privilege. Educate them on the voting process and get them engaged so that they can be a participant and not a pawn.
So was it voter suppression when I used to have to prove why I couldn't vote on Election Day to get an absentee ballot?
Absolutely.
Can you, yeah, can you stick for Eric to answer my problem, answer my question, though?
What's the question?
Hold on. My question was, I was talking about how there's certain white people did work and have their government was working to suppress black people. And that was before black people was able to participate. And you
listen,
can you understand that?
And the government did it. So why would you ask the government
to
fix it?
Right, so
the
I'm saying,
government
certain,
is
yeah,
the one
certain,
who
right.
fought. The government, I said that. The government is the one who fostered the laws to make you separate.
Yeah, we had that guy on
last
week explain why. That was explaining why the trolley companies did not want Jim Crow because it hurt their bottom line.
So tell me, why would you go
ask the same
people who suppressed you
Tracy.
To come and save you?
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Also, Tracy, Tobina is incorrect in what he's saying. He's saying that it's Southern white people. You better check off on that, my friend, because there were just as many Northern liberals that were trying to stop black people from doing things as well. So do be careful when you just blame it on
Margaret,
the cow. Be very careful.
Maggie Sanger was a Northern progressive.
Absolutely. And you got a bunch of them running around today. And the progressive movement is not your friend.
No, that's where the eugenicists came from. Woodrow Wilson. I mean, you're not going to find a more racist guy than Woodrow Wilson.
But also, Sticks, one of the problems I have with this is that when black people think like that, every Democrat had to switch to Republican. Every Republican had to switch to be Democrat. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Like, it's just... It doesn't make any sense at all. Like, it just doesn't. Like, but the thing is, also, on a state and local level, Democrats have ran states, and black people are getting screwed in those states just as hard, if not harder, in Democrat states. Like, they're getting screwed in California. They're getting screwed in New York. Everywhere. So it's not, we need to be on this side or that side. Black people need to be objective and come to it objectively and say, what's going to help us the most?
And we agree on that. Because right now, what's happening is it's not working. And I don't think we really understand the importance of us standing on our own 2 feet and quit going to the government to fix our problems. We're asking the government to fix our poverty, asking the government to fix our economic development. We won't come together as one group of people to do what is necessary. You can't go to the people who enslaved you and ask them to free you. And the government is the one who enslaved you.
Yeah, it was the Supreme Court said you were property. Dred Scott.
And yet we go to them and say, free us, Massa, free us. You can't do that because Massa will never free you because they actually gain power from you being enslaved.
Machiavellian principles tell people to go out and just give them a little bit to keep them on the hook, but never in power, never give them enough where they can actually be your competition.
That
is what I think blacks need to push for businesses instead of jobs. Stop worrying about jobs. Get businesses. Get loans. Get grants.
Well,
start your own and start empowering your own people.
Look at the industry that's grown up around poverty. You got a whole lot of people pushing a whole lot of paper that would be totally unemployable without the poverty system.
Poverty is a billion-dollar industry. And I'm sitting here watching.
You got people making six-figure salaries helping quote-unquote
poverty.
People.
And it's not working. And until we take responsibility for what's going on in our lives, we will always be having this conversation. And right now it's not working. How in the world, when you have school teachers and administrators making the figures that they're making that your children can't read by the third grade, but nobody does anything about it? And right now we've got an incarceration rate that is going skyrocketing, and we're not doing anything about it.
Well, not only that, what about the push?
Hey, Eric, hold on. Eric, make sure you have everything down in your background, your radio and all.
Yeah.
But, you know, look at the push against school choice. You had a charter school in New York City that was testing inner city children were testing in the top 3% of all of the middle schools in the entire state, even the high dollar private ones. And you've got a quote unquote progressive mayor that closed it down. Why would you do that?
The same reason why you're looking at Michelle Rhee right now. She's talking about the Common Core this morning. She was the superintendent of schools in D.C.
And they killed her.
They got rid of her because they were actually making children learn. Do we not understand that there is a game being played? And when you talk about white privilege, the only way that you overcome white privilege is by education, knowledge, understanding your surroundings and having an understanding of where you are and who you are. You will never get out of the boat you're in if you don't know how to build a paddle.
But Tracy, don't you think that's a bit antiquated? I mean, think about it. Black people have tons of degrees. Black people and a lot of black people, you're still working for somebody else. I mean, it's like, I mean, I don't get that. Like, everybody get a bachelor's degree as if that's going to fix everything. You get a degree in psychology, you're going to be around here working at a factory. If you're lucky. That doesn't, to me, getting the education is not knowledge, I agree with.
But
education.
I said knowledge. I said understanding. I didn't say a degree. I know a lot of people with a lot of degrees who are as dumb as a rock when it comes to social issues. They can't dig themselves out of a well with a shovel and a bucket and a ladder. So a degree does not make you smart. It just makes you know that you can go to school and finish something and accomplish it. And what I'm saying is when we look around us, just because you have a degree does not make you super intelligent. It just makes you knowledgeable in your field. But you can learn from a drunk man. Because you got an old grandpa who could fix your car, and all he had to do was turn it on and listen to it and tell you what's wrong with it, and he never went to school at all. And we need to be knowledgeable of that. But the problem is we think we know too much and we got too much. We're more intelligent than other people, and we're not. We all learn from everyone else. And no one knows everything contrary to popular belief. Wow. Hi, Doc Hill.
Hey, how are you?
Do me a favor, make sure his mic's on. Dr. Hill's in the studio with us. Dr. Hill is he is our medical consultant. He is our MD. He is an OBGYN correspondent. No, his hook it. Move the hook up. On the mic. No, on the mic. Pop up. Oh, then talk in it.
Good morning.
His mic's not up. He's on three. Hi, not so blind, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Tracy. I'm glad the OBGYN showed up, honey. He should check you because it sounds like you're having a cow this morning.
Oh.
Man,
Mike,
you are on fire.
I'm not on
check
fire.
Your blood
I'm
pressure.
No, my blood pressure is good.
No,
I'm just being
hearing
honest.
The debate back and forth, and you know where I stand on all this. I don't have to tell you. You know, I'm halfway between you and Styx on this. And definitely nowhere near Covina, man. I can't play the perpetual victim being a disabled person. My life would add up to nothing. So, yeah, I know there's people of all kinds of privilege. There's sighted privilege in our society, too. And that's more prevalent than white privilege. And because the whole world is set up for the sighted world. And the deaf people are fighting that from Goliath and everybody. Everybody's got their little niche that they're holding on to. But the bottom line is you're born, and someday you die, and in the middle it's up to you. That's what it really comes down to. It ain't going to be the government. It's not going to be the government.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can go ahead and teach yourself how to fix furnaces, figure out how to do roofing.
Hey,
I had
an interesting experience last week with a black businessman. This man has been 7 years in business, and I took my tractor over to be worked on by him, the carburetor. He offered me a job because his business is booming, and I walked through his workshop, and he's got white folks and black folks working for him and everybody's business, and this is a business he's built from nothing in 7 years. Tracy, you're right. Forget all the college degrees and all that. If a college degree isn't working for you, go apprentice for somebody for a year or two. Learn something you can do with your hands, and you'll never go hungry.
Yeah, fix one furnace, you fix them all. It's not about knowing how to fix them. It's just simply knowing how they work.
But it's hard. It's hard to disagree with
Hold on.
What
Alabama, you just cut across Eric really, really bad. Go ahead, Eric. Finish.
I mean, anybody can teach yourself how to fix furnaces. It's not about fixing them. It's just knowing how they work.
Yeah.
You know that, you can fix any furnace.
Yeah, knowing how it works. So when it isn't working, you know why.
But
exactly.
The problem is we don't learn how things work. I mean seriously, we learn how to turn them on and off and up and down and fix the thermostat, but we don't understand how things work. And we do the same thing with our politics. We go and vote, but we don't know the process of what we're voting for and how we're voting. We know that people are in Congress, but we don't know what they do. We don't know how they get there. We know about the president, but we don't know what he does.
We have created a society full of divisive mechanisms to divide people and keep dividing them into smaller and smaller groups. And it started, you know, I mean, other than the black-white issue, which obviously has been going for 100-plus years, 200 years, we also had the young and old issue that started in the 50s and 60s called the generation gap, you know. And that's when they started telling kids, those old folks don't know nothing, you don't need to listen to them. So, of course, there's no apprentices anymore. Nobody's passing on the knowledge because the young kids today think, after three generations of that crap, they think that they know everything, and there's nothing you're going to learn from that doddering old man, like you said, Tracy, who just by listening can tell you what's wrong with the engine.
And listen, I'm going to take a break. I've got to go find me an engineer because another 2 hours of this is really going to drive me batty.
Oh, it's a little noisy.
You're already
yes.
there. You're already there.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM.
I don't think anybody can disagree with going out, getting a skill, a trade, working, managing your money, savings, your own business, investment, doing what you have to do. You only can jump and work with what you can, what you have, what you've been given. And I agree. I think a lot of people haven't even tried and haven't even done that. So I don't see nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, if you want to be on a macro scale and look at, if I ask the question to the average American, why are black people the poorest people? There are reasons. There are things that have been done that I don't think people really like to take into the equation and really try to, you know, they try to say it's just, because it's almost, and then, you know, people get taken as an insult because now you're just saying we're lazy or we're just stupid or we're not intelligent. It's not that. It's a lot of things that have been denied to a lot of people that I don't think people like to take into the effect. I mean, but anybody in any situation, if they do certain principles, we're
right.
better than situation.
My engineer can actually
it's
hear
hard
what's
to
going on
that.
In my ears. Do you hear what's going on in my ears? Do you hear that crackle pop?
Yeah.
It's crackling popping for an hour. What do I do?
I don't know. I just.
I'll be right back. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Where is he?
Sorry.
Did we all go off the board, guys?
Hello, it's the delivery man.
Good morning.
Yes, I have three pizza and 2 liters of Pepsi Cola. Who did I give these to?
The person that's got the money. It's not me.
Oh, they've already paid for.
Oh, okay.
Did I hear Tracy say that you don't want to be going to government?
Yeah.
Well, that's a crazy statement to make. If I was a business person, I'm going to go to government and try to get a lot of things done. And she should have said you don't want to depend on them.
And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I've got Dr. Hill in the studio with me today. It's Wednesday, and, you know, Sticks is with me. It is 5 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. I want to thank the best engineer in the world, Brother West Boyd, for coming in here and getting the static out of my ear so now I don't have to yell at everybody because it was getting ready to get bad. Hey, what did you guys say?
Yeah, I had static in my ear from you yelling.
Oh, you know it, Pionki. What did y'all say in the chat room that made everybody call in all of a sudden?
I don't know.
Okay, just better.
I called in because of something I heard you say.
What did I say?
That you're not supposed to go to government to get things. Is that what you said?
No, I said we're not supposed to be dependent upon the government.
The problem that we have is
people are becoming too dependent. And they're going to the government for their solutions instead of trying to solve the solution on their own.
So are a lot of corporations.
Do me a favor. That's true, too. But you can see what we're losing with that also, because that's why we had the big fail. AIG, too big to fail. Do me a favor, Sticks. Turn Dr. Hill's mic on up a little bit more, because he's slow. Inside the queue, we've got Alabama, we've got South Carolina, we've got Not So Blind Mike. Pionki's out there. Diva's out there. We've got a private caller. Eric is there. Hey, private caller, your mic is on.
I'm here.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, I'm listening for now.
Okay.
You know,
When I was in business,
that's to start my day out, you know.
We appreciate that. This is the best way to start your day. Even on your off day, we appreciate you starting your day that way.
Hey, don't forget to tell them about that WSOM app.
That's right. WSOM has a phone app now. You can download it to your phone, your iPad, your Android. Okay. We can download it.
Sound like a Al-Qaeda bomb.
Got alarm.
You can. I'm on.
No, you're fine.
I'm broadcast. No, I'm not. I'm not on.
Hello.
No, that could be.
Hold on, guys.
That sounds like an Al-Qaeda bomb.
No, I'm not out.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble now. I'll keep on working and see what happens.
Yeah, you're okay with that.
Okay, I'm okay. I'm broadcasting somewhere. I'm just not broadcasting everywhere. Okay. What was I saying? I don't know. I got all kinds of stuff going on around me, and I only had half of my breakfast and no coffee yet. Dr. Hill, what's going on new in your world?
What's going on in my world?
Besides you delivering babies.
Well, I'm off today for the moment.
For the moment?
Unless I get a phone call.
Okay.
I'm off. Yeah.
All day?
Unless I get a phone call. I got to do rounds. I have to round.
Okay.
On my patients.
It's a full moon out there, Doc, so you know.
What do you think about? I mean, you said something before I was goofing off. You said something about businesses go to the government, too, and I said AIG.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell, you know, because they depended upon the government for their backup, you saw them fail also.
But look at the insurance industry.
Yeah.
They haven't complained not one time about anything.
No, they not Obamacare, nothing.
Haven't complained because they're getting their money. The government is subsidizing people so the insurance company gets their money.
Wow.
They had a patient who's on new insurance, and they're now paying $35 a month in premiums because it's subsidized. $35 a month for their premium.
So the insurance company's winning all the way around.
Now, they're paying $35 a month for their premium, but their deductible is $6,000 individual, $13,000 family.
Woo!
How do you like that one?
What was that? $6,000. That's more than health care
deductible
cost for a family.
For a single, for individual, and $13,000 for a family.
Wow.
But their premium is being subsidized, so the insurance company is getting their money.
But they still got to pay that big deductible before they get any coverage, right?
Yeah, well, no, before they get any coverage from the insurance company.
Right.
So their cash payment,
well, why not,
to me.
If you've got that kind of a deductible, why not go to a health savings account?
Well, makes sense.
But you got to put money in the savings account to get the cash, and you're paying
$30.
You have to pay the deductible before your insurance kicks in.
But you
got to pay $6,000, so they're getting a subsidized premium, so they're probably paying, what, $100 a month out of their own pocket?
$35
out of their own pocket.
So that's $35 for the premium.
But then they got to pay $6,000.
For the deductible, to him.
Before the insurance.
You've got to get
the
$6,000.
So how can you save any money if you're paying $35 here and
no,
the cash when you go to the doctor?
But you're better off. Putting $100 a month in an
stock
account, call it whatever you want to call it, and then use that to pay your doctor bill.
Because my family's had a $5,000 a year deductible forever.
But you've always had a health savings account.
That's right.
But you've always had the money to put in there. But if you're paying premiums, paying doctors, it's kind of hard to pay savings accounts.
But the thing is, if you start when you're young,
but you don't. But what you're
paying,
that premium, put it in a health savings account.
Right.
So now you can pull from that to pay your bills.
But you know that if you can't do that now, because it's mandatory that you have insurance.
No. Remember the insurance guy. There's still a health savings account available through Obamacare.
That's true. But you have to still have insurance, so you can't take that money.
If it's mandatory, you have to have insurance. If you take the penalty. Theoretically, if you put money aside each month, okay, pay the penalty, and you can still pay your bills.
But when you have a health savings account, you also have an insurance a catastrophic policy that goes with it.
But what I'm saying is you still have to have – you're paying a premium, you're paying a doctor, and now you're paying a savings account.
No, not in that scenario.
Why?
Your money from your health savings account is what you use to pay your doctor bill.
Right. So, in other words, if you've got a $6,000 deductible, if you can do it, put $6,000 in your health savings account, and you tax-free, because it comes off the top. It comes off the top of your W-2.
Okay.
So you've just cut your taxable income by $6,000.
Okay.
Because the insurance is not going to kick in until you pay that $6,000 anyway.
Right. So, if you have to have if under this law you have to have insurance, the thing you should do.
What happened that time?
Catastrophic illness or a chronic illness, a health savings account is a way to go for everybody.
Sure.
Okay.
No, they should do away with Obamacare and go back the way it was.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, in essence, the way it was is on some level the way it is right now. Because if you have a $6,000 deductible, it doesn't kick in until the $6,000 is paid. That's the way it always was.
Right.
You could always get that type of policy.
So the price is higher. They got rid of all the old terrible policies they talked about, which sticks, are the catastrophic care type policies that didn't cover enough. And now they've all got the same darn high deductible as if they had the old way of doing it. It's all
same
marketing.
It's the
it's
same
all
difference.
Theater and drama. Everybody is
smoke
screwed
and
on this one. Yeah,
so
and it does
yeah,
not
but you're paying
work.
Money to the IRS now.
So why would you depend on the government for your reliance?
Because you're conditioned. I'll give you another example how you're conditioned to think that's the way to go. I had a young lady come to me, and she wasn't eligible for Medicaid, not even the expanded Medicaid, and she told me what the forms that she sent in, how much she made. And in essence, she was making $50,000, in which case she's not going to be eligible for expanded Medicaid. But she could afford insurance. But if you have insurance, you have co-pays, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. Well, her answer to that was, well, I'm not going to work as hard, so that way I can be eligible for expanded Medicaid, don't have to pay anything for my health care.
Unintended consequences.
Yeah, it is. It
happens every time.
In essence, this is someone who was doing well, mm-hmm. was working hard, doing well. But, well, if I work hard and do well, I have to actually come out of my pocket with a copay.
Right.
When I come in. I don't want to do that. I'd rather not come out of my pocket for anything for my health care. So let me not work as hard, so I'll make less. So I'll
well, what gets eligible. Me when you try to explain the health savings account thing to people, you know, that you can't make them understand that every year with a traditional insurance policy, every year it goes back to zero.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah.
So if you don't have a claim all year, you put all that money into that insurance policy for nothing.
Yeah.
Where with the health savings account,
it's there.
It's there, and if you start when you're young, you just funded yourself a.
But you know that you can't have
home.
You know that you can't have a health savings account if you have insurance.
If you have traditional insurance, no, you cannot.
So,
but you can't have a health savings account.
But you can have a savings account.
Exactly.
But a health savings account is a tax deduction.
Oh, okay.
Which makes it kind of nice.
But it's better than a tax deduction.
Okay.
It's a dollar for dollar. It's a dollar for dollar removal from your income.
Is that not
just like an IRA?
In principle, is that not on some level also relying on the government? Just save the money. Does it matter not if it's a tax deduction or not?
Well, it doesn't matter if it's a tax deduction, but it sure does make it sweet.
It makes it easier, but you have that fund to pay for your health expenses when needed.
You know, because of the 401k and the health savings account, we're able to cut my wife's income by 30%.
Okay.
And keep the money.
That makes it pretty nice. And use it for your own benefit.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I used to get bonds on my vehicles. I never bought insurance.
Yeah. Hey, I got to tell you something, though. I have a health savings account, and I have insurance.
Huh?
I have both.
Yeah. Yeah, we have both. It depends on what kind. We have a high deductible plan. But the insurance covers things like
they would not let me get a health savings account.
It depends what kind of insurance you have. Certain policies.
You need to talk more with each other as friends. You guys do. You're keeping stuff from each other that each other needs to know. Tracy, you got to talk to these gentlemen. They have figured it out. Jeff and Dix have figured something
out.
Well, no, you need to know, sweetheart.
No, they won't. They won't let me do it. They won't.
Yeah,
let...
it depends on how your insurance policy is written.
And actually, it's under
policy.
No way.
No way.
No.
Well, then it's a trade-off. You want to keep what
no.
you got, then stop complaining
Absolutely.
What you end up with.
No, I got good insurance. I got good insurance. I ain't doing that. That'd be bad. Hey, the number 347-945-5229. It's an open mic, and tomorrow we will be talking about white privilege a whole lot in detail with the White Privilege Conference with a young lady by the name of Stacey Washington. And it's going to be a very interesting conversation with her.
Yeah.
Because her take is totally different than I think most of ours.
Hmm. What is her take?
We're going to hear it tomorrow.
You give it a preview so people tune in.
No.
This is a cliffhanger, so you got to tune
That's right.
in.
Is this another Tim Wise discussion?
Pretty much. But she's a conservative.
I don't blame whites for having privilege for themselves, as long as they don't break the law.
I don't blame anybody who's worked hard and has privilege or has in a one-up position.
Well,
I don't care what color they are or what nationality. If they've worked hard, you know,
but everybody hasn't worked hard. Hold on, Mike. Everybody ain't worked hard. The problem is privilege comes in from you have an entitlement that you did not work for. It's just because you are who you are. It has nothing to do with that you worked hard to get it. Because if black people got what they worked for, they wouldn't be where they are. Because ancestry has worked very, very hard for their children not to be reaping the benefits of what they went on.
A lot of people have entitlements that they don't work for. Some communities where homes are still on septic tanks, there's programs that come in and they would put that home on the sewer for free. So, come on.
But listen, right now, if you don't have a septic tank, they take your land. I don't know why you're playing. EPA rules.
Depends where you live.
here in Northeast Ohio, if you don't have a septic tank up to property, you cannot sell your property at all until you put one in.
Right.
That's take your land.
But now, are those people that have the alternative to go on to the city sewage system? Or is
they don't have the sewage system in the township.
If they run sewer past your house, I think state law requires you hook up.
You have to tap in.
Okay. So what you're saying
but
is
they don't run sewer
don't
by your
have
house.
Modern
they,
systems
but,
that are part of the problem, because lots of people, when they built their houses years ago, put a 55-gallon drum in the ground, filled it full of rocks, and called that a septic system, and that does
Mike,
not meet the health code
Mike,
standards.
Mike, what we're saying is people have sewage systems, they have septic systems. And the EPA has come in and regulated that they can't transfer property unless they have a state-of-the-art septic system in there.
Yeah,
and so there is no sewage. There is no sewage running past their house.
You
can't tap into it. You can't buy into it. And it costs you $19,000 for you to actually get it.
Right.
And your house is only worth $10,000.
Yeah, you've got entire subdivisions in this area where the septic system is worth more than the house is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that was a wise choice to buy there.
You didn't buy there. You just it was just.
Well,
the thing is,
when those houses were built in the '50s, they were legal. They were nice houses.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And some nice communities.
In case like that, then the government need to pick up the tab. You just can't come in and pull.
And they are in some
modern day laws. Yeah, that's
there
what is
grandfathering
do.
Under most building codes
no,
in most parts
not,
of the country.
Not for septic systems, but like Stark County. Is just a friend of mine installed septic systems, and he was working up a bid for Stark County.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was partial grants or what, but to bring septic systems up.
But it's really kind of sad how they've done that.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's because people can't transfer property.
Well, the thing with my problem with the septic systems is, if it's not leaving your property and it's not making an odor for the neighborhood, there's nothing wrong with it.
That's what I thought.
But yet. Some of these new systems, they're even requiring that they have ultraviolet light on them, on the discharge.
What's
kill any bacteria that might be coming out of it. Oh, yeah.
Kill bacteria, yeah. Yeah, viruses and stuff, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Doc Hill.
Yeah.
How are we doing with children and people having babies and stuff? Are we doing pretty good with it? Is it going fairly well?
What do you mean?
Are we having babies, and are we being responsible about neonatal care? Are we doing the right thing?
Are we being responsible?
Are we being responsible? Are we changing our mindset?
From what aspect? People having sex, babies are being created.
That's true, but are we being responsible about the babies being created? Are we doing better? Teenagers, are we doing better? Are we doing better
that's
with, you know?
I guess it depends on what
I know
your
he just delivers the babies. I'm asking him the question.
It depends on what your perspective is. Are they doing better? Babies are being created.
Babies. It was a cold winter.
I'll put it to you like this. Yesterday, had two of my patients in the waiting room. We're having a confrontation.
Huh?
You're having a confrontation.
Okay.
I know it's more than a three-letter word. I
know.
I understand that.
That's a four-syllable word. You know,
yeah.
Where's Eric?
Yeah.
So, you know, I asked one of the young ladies involved exactly what was going on out there. And in essence, the confrontation was over the fact that they both shared a baby daddy.
That can be a problem.
That was a confrontation.
That can cause a little problem right there.
Because she came in, the one came in with her boyfriend, but that wasn't the baby daddy that she was having. They was having a confrontation over. Yeah, that's what it was. So, you know, that has an effect on, you know, infant care, infant mortality. Because believe it or not, you know, there's this big charge in the state to try to find out why is the infant mortality greater here in the Mahoning Valley among African Americans than in the state. Well, you know, believe it or not, domestic violence does play an issue. It does play an issue because what happens, I would say, in my practice, maybe 2-3 times a year, you know, a baby dies because, you know, the baby was being cared for by the mama's boyfriend who wasn't the baby's daddy. And the baby dies.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that you know, it has the effect on infant mortality.
Yeah, they can have a slight little.
Yeah,
little.
Yeah, no, it does have an effect. So, you know, it's just subtle things like that sort of plays a role.
You know, it's amazing. I've heard of women being in the same room,
mm-hmm.
Delivering children and having the same father.
Yeah, oh yeah, it happens. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
That's a bit much.
No, well, but then you can see the after effects of that.
That's a bit much. That's a bit much. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break in a minute. Styx is in studio. I don't know what he's over there looking at. And I've got to come back. I got to ask you guys about Jay-Z and Beyonce's sister.
I don't know what happened.
No one knows why she jumped on Jay-Z in the elevator.
Oh, that's what that is. I've seen the picture.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what it is.
I heard
this
morning she was drunk.
That, now, mm-hmm. Drunk don't make you jump on your brother-in-law while mm-hmm. your sister stands there and watches.
Was she fighting him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was trying to whip his butt.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why?
Don't know.
Well,
no one knows.
Oh.
Yeah, she was mad at him because he wasn't helping her career, I guess. And
no.
She didn't want to go home and go to bed. It was time.
No.
It was past her time. She had to get up and go to school the next morning.
No, it wasn't about no career. That was a. That was Beyonce's sister. That was you mess with my sister and I'm gonna whip your tail, because my sister's too weak to jump on you. That's what that was. It was more. It was definitely not. You ain't helping my career.
Hmm.
That she tried to give him a beat down. At least he was cool about it. We'll be right back.
I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy.
Who in the world care about Beyonce and Jay-Z's
I know.
Social problem?
I know.
I don't even watch that.
Still on the line?
Pardon?
The doctor, is he still on the line or did he go away?
Social break. He's in the studio.
Yeah, he's still there.
Oh, is
okay.
He?
We're on break right now.
Yeah, no.
I wanted to ask the doctor a question.
He can't hear you.
I know he can't. That's why I was wanting to know if he's still on the line. I don't want to sit around.
They push back out into the hallway while the adults have conversation.
Oh.
Alabama can answer those questions.
Yeah. No. I'm going to ask the doctor. Is Alabama a doctor?
I had a lot of experience with a kid playing doctor. Maybe
he's a what?
I can't explain.
He plays one on the radio.
No, I
played one on the radio, yeah. So played one in my dorm room in college once.
Alabama's a doctor.
Huh?
Alabama man is a doctor.
No.
I hear a little one.
Yeah, no, he needs to be quiet. Before I throw him in a closet.
No, he's good kid. Here we go. Uh-oh. DCYS is on their way. Triangulating the IP you dialed in right now.
Like, that's how
Where
you feel
you located,
about your children.
Ma'am?
You want to, like, throw them in closets and put them in rooms and shut doors. And, like, I just find it interesting that mothers really do it. It's like... Some mothers really think about it, but we don't do it. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Listen,
but now that
we didn't,
we
didn't get
police,
put in closets, we got knocked out.
Yeah, you can go to jail for thinking it now that we have the thought police.
Yeah, like it's crazy. Like, you know, I know postpartum. You don't.
Thought.
I mean, actually, when you first have the baby, when you're going through postpartum, it is suggested that the baby's crying is too much.
Yeah.
To sit the baby in the room. You know, close the door, regather yourself, and then come back to the baby. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, stuff like that. But they give postpartum classes, and no one really goes. But, you know, postpartum is real. You know, nobody takes it very serious, but it is a very real and serious thing. And I can say from experience, sometimes you don't want that baby. You want to take a pillow and suffocate if you don't have that. If you don't have that support there or someone there, it can really get like that.
I think the problem is that people don't recognize sometimes what postpartum is because it can be different for everybody.
Right.
Like when I had my daughter, I never had the idea that I didn't want her I just didn't bond with her. Like, it didn't click to me immediately that I was a mother, and I was just exhausted, and I just wanted some time to myself. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, oh, I don't want her, I don't, or, you know what I'm saying, I want to harm her. And a lot of my fear was I didn't want to be near her because it was so weird because I thought I would harm her, you know? So it's different for everybody, and I think they need to talk more about it because I couldn't understand what I was going through because I was pregnant, I was happy, I was so excited, and then I came home and everything was different. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Nope.
Right, that's why it's important to have, you know, unfortunately, some of us have women that want to see us suffer and they don't care to help us. And it's sad enough, you know, you need that love, that affection. You know, you need an elder person there to help you with that baby. You know, you do.
I don't think you need an older person because, like, my older sister, when she had her baby, I was still living in Youngstown. I made sure I traveled down here to Columbus just to take care of her so that, because I was afraid she would end up going through what I went through. And so I was down here for like a week, 2 weeks. Helping her out while her fiancé went off to work. So I was her support.
I should have said more of an experienced mother. That's what I should have said, not so much of an older person because, you know. But, yeah, like what you did. Now, that was good. And that's something I would probably do for my little sister if she had a baby. You know, I would travel to go see her and make sure, you know, if I knew she was staying alone and, you know, her boyfriend, you know, I would do the same thing. You know, because it's not talked about, but it's real. It's real.
It is.
People who don't have children don't understand. They're like, oh, it's on your head. No. Postpartum depression is real.
People do have children, and they never experienced it. Because, like, you know, everybody just kept saying, oh, you're a mother. You know, you just do. You know, oh, you only got one kid, you know. And so...
I went through it, therefore you have to go through it. That's your attitude toward each other.
Yeah.
You are not supportive of each other.
Yep.
Unless, of course, there's a man in the middle, and then he's always wrong, and then your sister's.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. I've got Sticks and Dr. Hill in the studio with me, and we're just having a conversation. If you got a topic, if something comes up, if you know something that's out there that we need to talk about, please just jump in and say it. 8718, your mic is on. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Tracy. I had a question for the doctor.
Sure.
Hi, doctor.
How are you?
I'm doing great. My question is that, what are signs that someone has diabetes, and why does it take a mother to become pretty much carrying a child before she's being told that she has it?
Well, you're talking about two different things there. There's what's called type 2 diabetes, and there's what's called gestational diabetes.
Okay.
Gestational diabetes is diabetes that occurs only during the pregnancy. That's related to the pregnancy only.
Okay.
Versus type 2 diabetes, which is something that develops as you're an adult.
Okay.
So, and typically with gestational diabetes, once the pregnancy is over with, the diabetes goes away.
Oh, really?
How does that happen? Because they give you that nasty sugar stuff to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the sugar drink, they tell you if you have diabetes or not. And then
correct.
I don't get it. I'm trying to understand how does that all happen. Like, and what's the importance of knowing that while you're pregnant?
Well, the importance of knowing it while you're pregnant because we know once we've identified that you're gestational diabetic, you have to be managed in a more aggressive manner because we know what that's telling us is that you're not able to metabolize your glucose or sugar as someone without diabetes does. So as a result, your sugar levels will be higher. And we know in women who are diabetic or gestational diabetic, they have high sugars that causes problems for the baby. That makes bigger babies or babies that have what we call congenital anomalies, meaning, let's say, one foot is shorter than the other, or something abnormal with the baby's organs. Can be a result of sugars being too high throughout the pregnancy. So once we've identified
that you're gestational diabetic, then our next goal is to make sure your sugars are normalized.
What about being anemic? Like my family member is anemic, but yet the doctor tells me I'm slightly anemic and not severe. So what the heck does that mean?
Slightly anemic. I'm not sure. Well, slightly anemic, I would take slightly anemic to mean that your blood count is just below the normal range. That's what I would take that to mean. As severe would mean it's a lot below the normal range. That's
so
what I would take that to mean.
So what's
I'm
the
sorry?
Importance of, excuse me, so what's the importance of being anemic and, you know, health reasons and what does that do to you? You know,
anemia means is that you don't have as much blood in your system that you should have. So therefore, if you don't have as much blood in your system, then your heart has to work a lot harder to transport that blood, because what the blood does when it circulates through your body, oxygen comes in while you breathe. When oxygen comes in, it goes into the blood, and then that nourishes the body and makes the body healthy, so to say. I'm sort of simplifying that. But if you have less blood, your heart has to work harder versus the right level of blood.
So how do you fix that, you know, especially with being pregnant and then after the pregnancy? Like, how do you – is there a way that that can be fixed, like you can heal that for yourself to get your blood up?
Well, if you're anemic, the first thing is to determine why are you anemic and to correct the initial cause of the anemia. Okay? Now, anemia could be due to many different things. There are certain illnesses that can cause anemia. If your periods are heavy over time, that can cause anemia. So to correct what the cause is of the anemia.
I don't know, because even before having being pregnant, sometimes I would just like fall asleep and I wouldn't know why.
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Have you spoken with your physician about this?
Yeah, I have, but they don't, you know, I'm pregnant, so they focus more on the pregnancy. I guess I didn't ask questions on this level before,
but
more about the pregnancy than so much of myself. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What state do you live in?
New York.
New York?
Yep.
Okay. You may want to consider getting another doctor.
No, the doctors I have are actually good if you ask them questions, but they seem to be
they're
more
not
focused
answering
on
them, it sounds like, or they don't
no,
it doesn't sound
no,
like answering.
I'm not asking them about me.
Let me
I'm
ask you this.
About the pregnancy. Yeah.
But let me ask you this. Should I have to ask my doctor all these questions, or should he actually just have a conversation with me and let me know what I need to know about what's going on with me, whether it be about pregnancy or about anything else? Because when you go into a doctor, he tells you some words, and you don't know what the heck he's talking about.
Well, theoretically, let's say if you're anemic. Let's say if I have a patient that's anemic. Okay, well, first of all, depending on what the degree of anemia is. Okay, now, the normal blood level is, say, 12 and 36. That's the normal blood level.
Okay.
Okay, anemia would be considered, say, 10 and 30. That's mild anemia. Okay, which in pregnancy can be normal.
Okay.
Just through the physiologic changes that occur. Now, let's say if you're severely anemic, which would be, say, 7 and 20. That's pretty severe anemia. Well, that's something that may not be due to the physiologic changes, because there are some women who have what's called pica. That's a disorder where you have women who eat clay, or they may eat starch, or they may eat, you know how you used to have the refrigerators, the freezers that weren't defrost freezers?
Right.
They eat that all day.
Okay.
And that will cause severe anemia. So a lot of times if you probe, and you'll find that's what they're doing, so something simple as you can't eat ice all day, well, that's going to continue to make your anemia worse.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very common, too. That's very common.
Wait a minute. You said the cornstarch actually makes the anemia worse?
Yeah, because there are women who sit around and eat cornstarch all day long.
Because they crave it.
Yeah. That makes it worse.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know that. I mean,
I didn't know that because I didn't know that. That's interesting you said that.
But let me ask you a question. Are you in New York City?
Yeah, I am.
I have a buddy of mine who's a perinatologist in New York City at the hospital in Spanish Harlem. I can't think of the name of it. You ought to look him up. His name is Dr. Mays, Dr. Jonathan Mays.
Okay, Jonathan Mays.
Yeah, he's at the hospital. I can't think of the name of it, of the hospital in Spanish Harlem. He's head of maternal fetal medicine over there. You ought to look him up. Tell him I said hello.
That's interesting that you said
I have a
that.
Question for Dr. Teal.
Go ahead.
Should you be concerned the older do women's menstrual cycles typically change over time where they may be lighter when they're younger, heavier as they get older, or maybe heavier as they get older, and lighter when they're younger, heavier as they get older, and as time goes on, they get heavier and heavier. Should you be concerned about that, or it's just normal?
You should be concerned about it, yes.
That's a good answer.
No, you should be concerned. But a lot of times there may be pathological reasons why that's occurring. So if there are pathological reasons, those can be corrected,
and
or they can be treated.
And do you go to an OBGYN for that, am I correct? And when you go in there,
yes.
You just have a conversation with him
exactly.
And say, you know, this is what's going on
Well, typically what will happen, if you come in for your routine exam, you know, the first question we'll ask, or at least I'll ask, is, has there been any change in your menstrual period? Are they heavier and or more painful? And then you sort of go from there. And if they say they're heavier, then you'll do a blood count. See, are you anemic? Now, if you're anemic, then the next question, is there a pathological reason why your periods have become heavier? Do you have fibroids? Is that the reason? Do you have polyps? Is that the reason? And if so, then various treatment options for those pathological conditions.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. My doctor
I would recommend that
my doctor doesn't go in that deep when I first get in there. They just ask when was the last menstrual cycle,
right?
And do the exam, and then that's it. So
but now I know what to ask her. Now, what state are you calling from?
I'm in Ohio.
Oh, really? What city?
Columbus.
Columbus, okay. Yeah, what I would suggest that you do, I have a website. You know, go to my website. There's a whole lot of information related to that in my website. My website address is aiwhealth.com.
aiwhealth.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also check out my Facebook page. And one other thing, on my website, I actually have an area called Ask the Doctor. You can actually submit an email to me, and I answer my emails once a day. So if you send me an email today, you'll get a response no later than tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, Doctor, I just get concerned, too, because I always notice something in certain areas when people have children. Like, let's say the same hospital delivers the same five children. Those same five children will get sick at the same time and be back in the doctor's office again. So, you know, it's little stuff like that that always concerns me. I get real leery during pregnancy because it's like sometimes I don't know. Are they testing us while we're pregnant, or are they really doing, you know, things that are needed or required to be done? Because they did so much blood work and so much testing during this pregnancy out of my other two that I was starting to wonder, like, you know, what's this all about? I don't remember having to do all of this when I had my other two children.
Okay. All I can tell you is there are tests that we're probably doing now that we didn't do with your first child. That's not unreasonable to think because, you know, as we progress, you know, medicine progresses. You know, currently there's a blood test that we can do from 9 weeks on that can actually tell you the sex of your baby, which a year ago, or maybe 18 months ago, it wasn't in existence.
Yeah, there's a blood test you can do. If you're at least 9 weeks pregnant, there's a blood test that we can do that will tell you what the sex of your baby is.
Really?
That was in existence 18 months ago.
So, Doc, you think as medicine progresses, the abortion debate will change? Much as the slavery debate changed.
Let me ask you this: What is the abortion debate?
In my opinion, it's when life begins.
No. When I say what is the abortion debate, are you talking about whether to have them or whether not to have them, or
whether we're going to eventually make it illegal? Because
no, it's not.
No.
You know why? You know why?
No, you can't make it.
Because believe it or not, there's a reason why you have HIPAA.
Privacy loss.
Because everybody gets abortions.
Yep.
Even those folks who are pro-life, they get abortions.
Explain that.
You're talking about
I mean, they go to the doctor and get abortions.
Explain.
Okay, there's all kinds of terminology. Words have meaning. There's something called menstrual extraction.
What is that?
That's an abortion.
D&C.
Okay. And, you know, there I have a buddy of mine in New Jersey. He does abortions, okay? He does them in his office. No one knows because people pay cash because they don't want their business out in public. They don't go to the abortion clinic. And if you're early enough, you can do an abortion in the office. It takes 5 minutes if you're early enough because they don't want their business out in public. Because, be that as it may, no matter what your family, what your status is.
No, but when you say everyone has abortions, mm-hmm. explain that. I mean, that's pretty far-fetched.
What do you mean it's far-fetched?
I mean, hey.
Let me explain this. I'll give you a true story.
Okay.
A true story. I had a young lady, teenager, came to my office and found out she had an STD.
Okay.
We brought her back in to discuss it, and she swore she wasn't having sex.
Okay.
I said, well, you know, all tests can be wrong, so we'll do it again. So as I looked at her chart, I noticed her period had been a little bit erratic. So I had my medical assistant run a pregnancy test. Guess what? It was positive. So I said, let's start all over again. Now, we know you're having sex because your pregnancy test is positive. Okay, she fell out. Well, she didn't fall out, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
She got emotional.
She had fit.
Yeah. So her mom came in, and I explained to her mom what was going on. So then her dad came in, so I explained to him what the situation was. I said, you'll be okay. You know, the high school has a class for pregnant teens, so you'll be okay. He said, well, my daughter doesn't go to that high school. I said, okay. He went to the high school where they don't play that.
Okay.
I said, well, you know, that's okay. You'll still be okay. He said, no, you don't understand. I'm assistant pastor so-and-so and so-and-so and so.
Ooh.
I said, okay. I said, look, the bottom line, this is Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I'm not the moral police. You let me know what you want to do. So 2 weeks later, you know, daughter came in to get on birth control. My point is, everybody gets abortions.
Everybody doesn't get abortions.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Not everybody,
but my point is, a lot of these people who claim they're pro-life.
That is true.
Are BSing you.
That is true. That is true. I agree with that.
That's my
point. There's a lot of folks that as long as it doesn't come to light.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One thing I would have to say to what the doctor's saying, that whole just African-American women stuff, that's the bull crap. That's the bull crap, I will say, with the whole abortion thing. Because
heck yeah.
It is all women of any culture. And unfortunately, there's some women who cannot have children, so situation is they can't carry a child. So, but besides that type of situation, but everybody, any race of woman, even women who coaches, you know, forbid that.
Oh, heck yeah.
Abortion.
Heck yeah.
But this is
that
the
whole
issue.
Black
this
woman
is
thing
issue.
Is crap.
No, no, but see, this
well,
is the
issue.
My argument is not about black women. My argument is the numbers.
The numbers, absolutely.
No. We don't know the numbers. We don't know the numbers.
Well, the numbers that you know.
No, but you don't.
You're right. You don't know the maximum numbers, but you know the numbers that's on record.
But that doesn't mean anything if you don't know the whole numbers. That doesn't mean anything.
But if you look at how many abortions have been reported.
Okay.
Yeah, the ones that supported to the CDC.
The ones that are reported, they actually are so high when it comes to African American.
But what about the ones that are not reported?
What about the ones that are not reported?
So in essence, you're skewing the numbers.
Well, you're really not, Doctor. Come on now. If you can report 16 to 18 million. And the ones that you don't have.
You're not dealing with the facts. When you don't know the numbers, you can't make up numbers.
When you're saying percentages,
that percentage is based on a known number. If you don't know the known number, let me phrase it this way. Yeah.
If I tell you that a million were given.
Okay.
Now, there may be more.
Okay.
But there probably are not less.
Okay.
And it shows me that we have killed so many.
Okay.
In a period of time.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't mean that the other populations are not doing the same thing. I agree.
Okay.
But when it comes to African Americans, we've killed so many, and we are killing so many.
Okay.
As I said, the numbers that are reported are the numbers, and they're high. So you know that the number is probably higher of the ones that we do not know.
Okay. I'll agree with you.
The problem is...
Hey, Tracy, let me ask the doctor a question, too.
Hold on. Look at that number, and even though the number may be wrong, look at how many we've killed that could be adding to our population as a whole and be productive.
Okay.
I think that's what's in our mind.
Well, what about the dysfunction?
Let me ask a question.
Yeah.
Doctor, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
When a baby is born, you're supposed to report it, correct? For a count.
I guess so, yeah.
We don't have babies born and they're not being reported, I'm sure.
I'm sure they are somewhere. I'm sure they are.
Yeah. Well, let's put it like this. In New York, they reported that with black women, mm-hmm. and these are women that... put down identification whether the baby is born or whether they have abortion. It reported that in 2012, the black women had more abortions than live births.
Okay.
Can we say that's pretty accurate?
But I guess my question is, what is the significance of it, and what does that mean in totality?
What is the significance of recording births at all?
When you say black women, why are you saying black women?
Because that's the way it's identified.
But why are you taking out one ethnic group?
That was the news article.
But this is what they do. A pastor put up a big old billboard saying the dangerous place for any black babies in the black woman's womb. So now. It's this big thing now where statistics are point once again, like I said before,
because
pointing
women
at
do it
black
too.
Women. Huh?
But black women.
Well, we know
black
white women
are
do
killing,
it.
Are we, but if we're killing more babies than we're having, what does that do to our population?
Of course, well, the population is not going to grow as fast.
That's a problem, isn't it?
Is that a problem?
We also have a dysfunctional
adoption. I don't know.
Well, wait a minute now. Why come it sad? Because you got those who say it's good.
Who said it's good?
Oh, no.
You have those
like,
who
guess,
say it's
guess,
good. I asked the doctor why he said it's sad.
I have a question.
I have another question.
Yeah, what?
You being a doctor, part of the science community, and since we're on the topic of abortion, where do you feel life begins? At what stage? Is it conception? Certain weeks in gestation.
You know what? Personally, I think that's an irrelevant question. I mean, for me to tell you when I think it begins doesn't matter. It's about where you think it begins. It matters not when I think it begins. It only matters to me. Where do you think it begins? Where it matters.
If a pregnant woman is shot and she is killed and the baby is killed, then the perpetrator gets
double
life. Double homicide.
I mean,
Yeah, same
laws
not,
that.
But no. The question is this: then is every woman that's murdered, do they do a pregnancy test on them? Huh?
See, there you go.
See.
But I'm saying overall, if you kill a woman pregnant,
but you know if the woman is pregnant, how do you know the woman is pregnant?
Because she's showing.
She's showing. She might be just fat.
No, everybody's
you know.
Pregnant.
No.
You say because she's showing. How do you know she's pregnant?
Yeah,
no.
But then,
do you tests on every woman who's murdered?
No, you don't.
Why not?
Because.
Well, if you're trying to make a point, it's double murder.
But it is true. It is a double homicide if you kill a pregnant woman.
I know.
So why is it a double homicide if you kill a pregnant woman, but if a woman kills a baby, it's okay?
Because abortion is legal in our country.
Because that's her choice. That is that woman's choice to not have that child. That's her choice. I don't understand why people don't get that. If she doesn't want to have that child or whatever the situation is,
I got to agree with Stanley on this one, though. It takes two people to make a baby, so why doesn't the father have any say-so?
He may not find out about it, so, I mean, that's just reality.
But she could be pregnant and he might not know if he's not in tune with her like that. That's a problem.
But what kind of relationship can you have with a woman from then on at the point that she didn't tell you something that was as precious as that?
Well,
that is a problem for divorce.
My problem is I have a problem when it takes two to tango, but it only takes one to kill it.
Right.
Well, that's law, right? Unfortunately, it's her body. You can't lock her down.
You can't lock her down, but she should have locked it up if she didn't want to have a baby because she's killing a life. Because when she has the baby, I'm going to take a break in a minute, but when she has the baby, then you've got to pay.
I got one other question for the doctor. In a situation of rape, do a woman have the chemical ability to shut down the ability of
having
a pregnant?
Come on.
What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
That was written up in your AMA.
No.
It was a discussion in your AMA, and it was written up. Somebody had done a paper on it.
I don't think
anyway, so. Somebody done a paper on it, and somebody wrote it for was dumb enough to come out and bring it up.
I'm sure that was a man that wrote that paper. I'm sure it wasn't the woman.
Yeah, no such animal.
So a woman's body just don't shut it down?
No.
She can't say, I think I'm not pregnant. It doesn't work like that.
Unfortunately, it doesn't work
like
that.
Rape is not funny, first of all. Not a joke.
Rape is not funny.
There's so many different kinds of rape.
That's what they said. The dingbat got up there and said it.
Rape is rape. I mean, there's different kinds of rape. There's different names, but rape is rape. When a woman says no and she's not interested in having sexual relations with someone.
But now, hold on.
I got a problem
when teasers cry rape.
That's problematic.
Because a lot of times no means maybe.
Sometimes no means maybe, but sometimes no means no. But see, I know women that play.
Yeah.
And they play so far, and then they want to say no.
Yeah.
And then they get mad and call rape.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
No, what's the problem
like
is when
that,
it's
that
yes, then after.
But you mean
that
to tell me you can't control
really
yourself
rape.
Enough as a man to where even if you are basically to that point, you don't know how to stop?
There's called a point of no return. It's sort of like when a woman is given labor and you tell her, okay, stop pushing, too late. She can't stop.
Yes, you can't stop. Very true.
So that's sort of along the same line of no return.
I mean, there have been cases where they've been in full throttle, and then decide, I don't want to do this no more.
Well,
and it's like stop. And if you don't stop, I'm gonna cry rape. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you've got the young man down at Steubenville.
Oh, that's crazy.
You've just ruined this young man's life. He should have been punished for something, but it wasn't even really rape.
No.
It was digital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all it was.
So now you've destroyed this kid's life forever.
It was digital.
And that's why you shouldn't have in the backseat of teenagers' cars.
Well, what about this? They took a picture of it and put it on Facebook, and that's where everybody got in trouble. But this should not have been a criminal crime.
No.
Yeah, but Tracy, if you at 15, 16, I don't agree with you should be having intercourse. You're not mature enough.
It happens.
Hold on. Somebody just called my name. Who was it?
It was me. Now, what if, what's the doctor's opinion on this rape?
It's hold okay. on, I gotta take a break. Hold on, I gotta take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-9455.
It shows you how out of it I am.
But you know, also it depends on what level you're talking about, because rape is if you're talking about like a serial rapist, the rape is not about the sexual pleasure. It's about the control. It's about something psychological going on. You know, it's not so much always about how the woman looks. So when you're dealing with that type of rape, that's why I say rape is such a broad subject, and it's a word that's tossed around a lot, because some
there is legitimate rape and illegitimate rape.
I mean women get raped by their husbands, unfortunately. Women be like, you know, I felt I was being raped by my husband because I didn't want to have sex with him. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why I say rape is such a broad topic, and what level are you speaking of?
If a woman doesn't want to have sex with her husband and he forces herself on her anyway, you don't consider that rape?
Well, Bob Marley did it to his wife. She said that there was a lot of times she did want to be intimate with him. And she did, and she felt raped. But there's a Diva. There's a lot of women I've heard say that before, because they feel like they're, because they're the wife.
That rape.
You know,
you don't consider that rape.
Of course I do, but it, you know, but unfortunately, because of, you know, she's the wife and titles and stuff, she feels like that's what she's supposed to do. Unfortunately, that woman.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wish my husband.
Well, that's not rape, right? I just want to say something. See, you saying rape is broad. I think rape should just be clear. Someone
yes,
not clear.
Does not want. Well, see, but that's the problem. Why
is
it clear?
Definitions.
Someone,
it's many
someone
different definitions.
Hold on, hold on. Well, no, no, listen, listen. If rape is not, if rape is not clear, hold up, Diva. Diva, can I make my statement?
Go ahead, Mike.
Diva, I haven't finished. I haven't finished, Diva. If we make rape broad and where it's unclear, that's why we have confusion. Rape, to me, rape is simple. Someone is having sex when they don't want to have sex, when they're forced to have sex. Now, in that situation, she felt like she didn't have a conversation with her husband. Why would you do that? So let me ask you a question, Mike. That's a little different when she's able to have the conversation and try to stop that intercourse from happening, but to hold that in her and say, well, I'm just going to have this sex with this guy because it may be on biblical principles or it may be on any kind. I don't think that's fair.
But
Mike, let me give you an example.
I'm opening up to that man because hold on, listen, because if that man is having sex with his wife and she doesn't want it and she's not communicating with him, he doesn't want to be a rapist. You know, let him
Mike,
know.
Mike, let me give you an example.
He doesn't
you
want
heard
to wear
the thing
that on
that,
him.
You heard
that's
the event that Mike Tyson went through with his girlfriend?
Yeah.
So was that legitimate rape?
Which girlfriend? Because Robert Gibbs was his wife
different.
And the other chick was a jump off.
No, it's not. Wait a minute. No, she claimed rape after he did not walk her down to her car.
That's what I'm saying. She wasn't his girlfriend. She was supposed to be in a jump off.
It was
off.
A woman.
Rape.
So, Mike, is that a legitimate rape? So that is an example of the broad perspective
hey,
of rape.
Hey, reason why
there's
I was
nobody
like,
there.
No.
Well,
I
was like 7 years old
Mike.
When
can
that
I get
happened.
This a question? Why are we getting all these interruptions? Mike, it's caused confusion. Now, Mike, she had sex with him. Everything was fine and dandy. Kiss and love, but come walk me to the
exactly.
I got time right now. Now, all of a sudden, she claims rape.
Exactly.
No, but that's the story he gave. The story she gave was he forced himself on her.
It doesn't matter, Steve. It was the story. This is, see, rape, the
right,
act
exactly.
is simple to
no,
define.
No, wait a minute. No, no, no.
It, where
rape
it's complicated is
the story comes from two sides.
Private,
you can't just go with one-sided story and
Steve.
Say, oh, that's the story.
But, see, that's the point. It's the story. Nobody's there. It's not like it happens in front of 100 witnesses. This is where rape gets complicated. The act of rape is simple. It's being forced against your will. But it gets complicated because it's a he says, said, she said of the events that both are alleging are different. That's where it gets real complicated, unless you're stupid enough to do it in front of witnesses.
I got
and
another
women do use rape as a tool to get even. Because women get pissy and angry and get emotional, and then the poor son of a gun finds himself with a whole bunch of legal problems and everything else, and then she won't back down. Like, look what happened with the thing there with the Duke lacrosse players.
Yeah. How about the case when you have all those public school teachers that have sex with the children, and none of them are accused of rape? They're accused of something else.
Yeah.
They are accused of rape. It's called statutory rape.
Minor or something.
No, it's not. They're accused of a whole lot of. I mean, there's a website. There's a website where you got all hundreds of them. They got their pictures and they got their ultimate charge.
So you
and
said,
if you can find any of them, they're accused of rape.
So you're saying a 16-year-old senior, male senior, 16-year-old male senior having sex with a 30-year-old teacher, you think that's rape?
Yes.
As a parent, I don't care, son, daughter, whatever. You are in a profession with children. No. It's deeper than that. You are in a profession and you're working with children.
I'm asking you,
I'm
not going to be with it, period, because you are in a profession and you're working with children. Now you look like a predator. You're having sex with children in your school. You look like a predator.
Is it right?
But guys,
let me put it
to you this way, guys. This is the way that the NOW and Better Free Dan and that whole crowd classified rape. Rape is any sex between a man and a woman. Okay? That's how they classify it, period.
They're irrelevant. They don't matter. Something's wrong with them.
Well, listen. Listen, they formed the narrative back in the 70s, okay, with the whole women's rights movement and everything.
But none of our laws concerning rape,
these are the folks that are in charge now.
Okay, all right. Well,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
And now, the new doctrine of now doesn't stand for what it used to. Now stands for naked only when washing. That's what it stands for. Because that's the only time they think
it's
okay for a woman to be naked.
Well, I guess when I have sexual relations, then I'll be raped all the time. And I don't mind. I'm just saying because that makes absolutely no sense to me.
Mike Tyson is sending you flowers right now.
Their definition of rape is sexual intercourse. What is wrong with them? I guess they don't think human beings, or you know, we were even not even human beings. What they feel about animals, is it rape when it's them?
Well, let me also
add that the
age. What age are we talking about, too? Because, you know, there's some people who can be working in could work in a high school, and they'll be, like, only 23, 24. You understand that around that age area. Are you talking about the age?
My child is under the age 18. Don't touch them, or I will have you locked up. You ought to know
better.
Yeah,
because these are children that – these teachers have been having intercourse with. And even when I was in high school, I remember a friend of mine when she was in, well, yeah, a few friends that had situations like that. They were younger than 18.
It's having sex. Come on now, it's not rape. If you know what happiness is, you clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
That song, Kill the Moment.
Hey, you're back listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I know you guys are tired of my song, but it is mine, and I have adopted it. And I can't help it because it is one of those days, and I happen to like the song. And I think so does the rest of the country right now. We're just stuck on it. The number is 347-945-5229, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 7 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I've got Dr. Hill in studio with me. We're just having a conversation. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. It looks like he'll answer anything that
definitely.
You want to answer.
And if anybody has a question for me that they're embarrassed or afraid to ask, feel free to go to my website, aiwhealth.com. On my website, there's a section called Ask the Doctor where you can directly email me. And the response time is 24 hours, meaning if you send me an email today, you'll have it answered by tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you.
AIW
Health.
AIW
Health. AIWHealth.com.
Thank you, Doctor.
Associates in Women's Health?
Uh-huh. That's AIW.
AIW.
AIWHealth.com. Uh-huh.
Matt, your mic is on. How are you, darling?
I'm okay, Tracy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's good. I was listening for the last couple hours here, and The good, you know, I hate to disagree with the good doctor, but I have some issues when it comes to what he's considering, you know, whether you're pregnant or what is life or whatever. Listen, in the beginning, when something, they have a word, it's called conception. And conception happens when a sperm fertilizes an egg. This is conception. What we seem to be missing is, what is it conceiving? Is it conceiving a dump truck? Is it conceiving a computer? No, it's either conceiving one of two things, life, or it's conceiving a baby. This is what we seem to be missing. There is the act of conception, but there is something that conception is describing, and that would be life or a baby. You know, and if the argument is, well, that life didn't reach its full potential, so maybe that's not really murder if there's, you know, an act of abortion or whatever. Well, when I graduated high school, I was an idiot. People thought I'd be panhandling right now. I didn't reach my full potential. I still don't think I reached my full potential. So does that mean that if I'm shot today in the street, that it's not murder because I didn't reach my full potential? We have to start really thinking about this stuff. You know, just because a woman is laying there dead and nobody knows that she's pregnant because she's not showing, well, maybe somebody has a paper that she went to go get a pregnancy test and just didn't say anything. It doesn't mean that baby don't exist. It's murder, in my opinion.
But my question is, my question to you when I ask this is I want to know why it's murder if I shoot you, but it's not murder if you kill your baby. I don't understand. I just don't get it.
Because it's
but
just
how
the perception
where
the mother
pregnant.
You missed my point. Listen. If I'm not showing, let me see, a mentee, if you're not showing and you're pregnant and I come up and shoot you, they're going to, and you come in and say, you listen, if somebody says a mentee was pregnant, they're going to charge me with a double homicide. Because not only did I kill you, but I killed your unborn child. But if you and that includes if you were on their way to the abortion clinic when I shot you. So the question is, why is it that I can't shoot you and it's a double homicide, but you can go on your way on your way to the abortion clinic when I shoot you, and I get charged with a double homicide.
It's really about that doctor in Philadelphia.
You don't have to know that there is a victim there for it to be murder, because I could be shooting randomly and shoot through a wall and not notice somebody's on their side of that wall. If I kill that person, it's considered a homicide.
My question is, why is it a double homicide if
homicide
I kill you? Because if a life is not a life, if you could actually still get an abortion, why do I have to be charged with a double homicide?
Because abortion is legal. Homicide is not. I mean, murder is not. You killing someone, you shooting any act.
I killed you. The baby's not even a baby yet in the eyes of the law, because you can still kill a baby and it not be murder.
Right. You know what? Let
hey,
me
Tracy.
Ask this. Let me just really quick. I'm sorry, Bianca. Just really quick. To say that you know what Diva just said. Well, abortion is legal, but murder is not. Well, then you would have to look at the assisted suicide thing and say, why isn't if abortion is illegal, why isn't assisted suicide legal?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Suicide itself is not illegal, though. If somebody takes their life or attempts to take their life, they're not going to come up on criminal charges.
Yeah. Suicide's against the law.
If you don't
die.
Someone pulls the plug, he's in jail. Well, someone pulls the plug, is that suicide?
If you assist someone in suicide,
hold on one at a time, guys.
Kill themselves. That is not against the law. That's not a criminal act. Now you go into the mental hospital.
It's a criminal act if you don't die.
It
depends on what state you're in.
Yeah. Well, what life support? Life support. You know, the decision is not.
Hey, Mike.
Already continued. Yeah, how you doing, Tracy? I really want to say something about abortion, real quick. See, men, we start the birth process, and women, they end it. So both men and women know our process. Then I don't think we should, you know, argue over whether a man can make a woman have a baby or not have a baby, right? But my question is, for people who want, you know, to end abortion, how can you administer or make sure a woman has that baby
for 9 months or carry that baby full term. How can a government ever force a woman to do that? I can't see how you're going to administer. Are you going to strap them down? Are you going to put them in prison? Are you going to have a special facility for them?
It'll never change. Don't get me wrong. It'll never change. My question is, I'm just talking about just the overall law, because I think someone asked you, I think Sticks asked, will it ever be overturned again? And I don't think it'll ever go back. But my question is...
Well, it could. Tracy,
I don't think so.
That's going to ask the doctor. What about these abortions when the doctor pulls the baby's head through the vagina and then takes a knife and slits his spine?
Oh my God!
So
well, now
that was Dr. Gosnell there in Philadelphia. Then he made the remark, "This is big enough to walk me to the bus stop." So what do you consider that?
Well, that was something illegal. He murdered a live baby. Because after
Pianchi, let me finish.
He murdered a live baby. Because after 24 weeks is the definition of viability. Hence, you can't do abortions beyond 24 weeks.
Okay.
So that's considered a viable. So that's considered a baby who can live outside of the mother's womb.
Okay.
For 24 weeks.
Okay.
So that's why.
But can they abort him in the womb?
Huh?
Can you abort him in the womb?
Can they abort him in the womb?
But that's still 24 weeks is considered a viable baby. So that would be murder. That's why. That's why after 24 weeks you can't have an abortion.
Do you agree?
What's late-term abortion?
One at a time, guys.
The true definition of late-term abortion is between 20 and 24 weeks, because most states where abortions are performed, most states, their limit is 20 weeks. If to go beyond 20 weeks, you have to go to these special states like, I guess, Kansas and wherever these places where they do late-term abortion. Late-term, the definition of late-term abortion is between 20 and 24 weeks. Anything from 24 weeks on is considered viable, so that's no longer an abortion. That's a baby that can live outside the mother's womb.
And doctor, what about how many abortions? I thought the limit was that a woman could get no more than 4 abortions. What happened to that?
There's never been any limit. There's women, you can get as many abortions as you're going
to
pay for.
Wouldn't that vary state
to
state?
Yeah, but I know she had to have her child because they said she had got so many abortions that they was like, she can't get another one.
No such thing. People get as many abortions as they can pay for.
What did that
when
say for the whole
clinic,
thing?
When you go to the abortion clinic, they say, this is the fee. You pay the fee, you get your abortion.
Wow.
So, Dr., does the government,
if
does Medicaid
the fee, don't get
for
the abortion.
Abortions?
Huh?
Does the government or Medicaid pay for abortions?
No.
Now, let me ask
abortion
you
is a cash service, is a cash business.
But let me ask you this. Now, you said there are many ways to abort a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Are there ways of abortion that the government will pay for? Such as, I don't know what different. Well, DNC is not an abortion, is it?
Well, is a DNC an abortion? That's the way abortions are accomplished, by doing a DNC.
But isn't it? But I mean, people who are not pregnant
get
DNC.
You're aborting.
You could. DNC is a dilation and curettage. Is what DNC stands for.
Okay.
That's a surgical procedure that's done for many different reasons.
Okay.
Okay. If you have irregular heavy bleeding, that might be indication for a DNC.
Okay.
If you're having a miscarriage, a natural miscarriage, and all the products are not passed,
okay,
then you need to have a DNC done. If you have a pregnancy that, say, at 7 weeks, there was a heartbeat.
Okay.
At 9 weeks, there was a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
At 10 weeks, there was no longer a heartbeat. So in that instance, you're going to have an option will be to do a DNC.
But is that DNC, because there's no heart rate, is that an abortion or is that just extraction?
That DNC that's done is essentially the same type of DNC that would be done if you're doing an abortion of a 10-week pregnancy with a heartbeat. It's the same procedure. The same exact procedure.
Wow.
Because all OBGYNs technically are trained in doing first trimester abortions, technically, because we do DNCs for incomplete abortions all the time. So it's the same procedure. I mean, personally, I did one a couple of weeks ago. A young lady was referred to me because
the baby had stopped growing, heart had stopped beating. So I had to do a DNC. Okay, as I was doing the DNC, I had some nursing students in the room observing me, and I explained to them everything I was doing, and I told them essentially what I was doing is what happens if this baby was alive and she was going someplace to have an abortion done, the same exact procedure.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. I did not do an abortion. I did a DNC because this was a dead baby inside that no longer stopped growing, so at which point she needed to have a DNC done.
And you need to, that needs to happen because you got to get that. You have to extract that tissue, that fetus out.
At some point, she would have gone and miscarried on her own, but most likely she would have needed a DNC because she wasn't going to. All the products were not going to be passed.
Okay.
Wow. So option was, she was given the option. You can allow yourself to pass the fetus naturally, or you can have a DNC. Well, if a woman knows she has a dead baby inside, that's sort of hard to continue waiting.
Yeah.
That can be hard mentally and emotionally.
Okay.
So I say, go ahead, let's do the DNC.
All right. We learned something new today.
Yeah.
Anybody got any other questions out there?
Well, I'm due any minute now, doctor. I'm sick of being pregnant. I'm ready for this baby to come out.
Hey, come to Ohio and I'll induce you. I'll induce you tomorrow. Get here.
I thought I was in labor last week. I was like, okay, this is it. This is it. And I was like, oh, this ain't it. Next day I was feeling fine.
You drive to Youngstown. I'll induce you tomorrow.
By the time she gets here, no, she don't need to travel right now, doctor. That might be bad. Not if she thinks she's having false labor now.
As a matter of fact, we'll have a remote. Follow you while you're having the baby. So when the baby comes out, baby will cry and be on the radio.
Like a plan.
No, that inducing stuff actually makes the contractions harder. I like everything to go naturally. It's just, no. Don't induce.
But you know something, Doc?
I'll give you a shot at stardom. You know, it'll be a viral internet.
You know something, some of the things that's very difficult to look at is when a baby is in the womb and they're going to abortion, and they put those instruments up there, and you can see the baby even grinsing and trying to get away from it.
Say again?
Huh?
What are you watching?
Really?
Go ahead.
It's on the internet live. Not live, but you can see the whole procedure. It's just kind of hard to get in there, but you can get in there and see it. But the one thing, you know, being a father of five kids, I highly recommend, rather it be a C-section or a natural birth. And I've actually seen two of my grandkids being born. So I recommend you guys, men, go in and witness the procedure. It's really interesting. C-section is a little bit, if you're not, you know,
that's
strong on the stomach, but, you know, hey. I went and I watched it.
Hold on, guys. 440, your mic is on. Good morning.
If I drop out, it's because I'm in a bad area. I've been trying to get you most of the morning. I've been in bad areas, so. I have a real hard time with anybody getting an abortion unless it's absolutely needed.
Okay.
I think it's unchristian, and I think it is the government's way of exterminating the black population, and you guys are doing it voluntarily. Are you kidding me?
White folks get abortions too.
Right. Yeah, people of all races get abortions.
Yeah, but they don't get it at the rate the blacks
do. Where are they putting most?
How do you know that? How do you know
that? The abortion clinics. The abortion clinics.
That's not where all the abortions are being done.
They call this president the abortion.
That's not where all the abortions are being done. That's not where all the abortions are being done.
Is white women having more babies than black women?
There are places where abortions are done in residential neighborhoods.
Hey, go ahead.
Hold on, guys. Wait a minute. Listen to what he said.
There are places where abortions are done in residential neighborhoods.
You just don't
know about it.
Right. There are doctors.
Did you go to that website I told you about? Did you go to that website?
I don't think I did.
You got to check it out.
There are abortion clinics that you would not really not really know about that are in suburban areas and rural areas that look like doctor's offices, and you don't realize that they are abortion clinics because they are not labeled as abortion clinics, but they are. And so, African Americans are getting a lot of abortions because they sell it as a way for that black people. But people are getting Americans are getting abortions because Americans are a very, very selfish country right now. We don't care about anything but the right now. So we need to be honest about that. So we're having abortions. Whether it be black, white, Indian, you know, Muslim, Greek, they go to the doctor as soon as they miss a period, before anybody knows that they're pregnant, they're in a doctor's office pulling out their coffee can and having an abortion. That's what's wrong with America today.
They call it menstrual extraction. That's
what they call
menstrual extraction.
Right.
A what?
It's called menstrual extraction.
Yeah. Wow.
Could you explain that just a little better? Menstrual extraction.
A menstrual extraction. Your period is only late by five or six days.
Okay.
But you're pregnant.
And you're pregnant. And you can find out if you're pregnant easily. You know, you can go.
Yeah.
How soon can you find out if you're pregnant?
You can find out you can find out you're pregnant before you've missed that last period.
So I can take a pregnancy test. I can have unprotected sex, have a pregnancy test, and know whether I'm pregnant or not right then and there.
Right. No, you can know whether you're pregnant or not. Let's say a day before your period is expected to start.
Right.
Before you've had a chance to miss it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you also have to understand you can go inside of any pharmacy right now in America and ask for the day after pill, and they'll hand it to you over the counter.
But guess what?
What?
Very few people purchase it over the counter.
I mean, very few people purchase it over the counter.
Because if they get a prescription, insurance
it's free.
Pays for it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, doctor, can a woman get pregnant without knowing a man?
Huh?
Huh? Yeah.
Can a woman
get
pregnant without having sexual intercourse with a man?
Well, she has to have a way to get the sperm up inside of her uterus.
But let me ask you
without
this.
Doing that also.
No. There was a case over in Akron several years ago of a stepfather that impregnated his stepchildren with a syringe.
You have to get the sperm inside the uterus.
But you don't have to have necessarily sexual penetration.
No.
But you can. But you got to have a sperm somewhere.
Yeah.
You have to get the sperm there.
Pionki, I thought you knew that.
No, I know Pionki is going with that question. There's books out here that have said that women at one time could create without a man because she has sperm in her egg or something like that. I'm not going to get too deep into it, but I knew he was going with that question. Yeah. That's all I could say.
I knew where he was going.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I had a conversation with someone, and I was like, yeah, I did the research, and that what they were describing is not what he was saying, so...
Hold on, guys. Explain to the cheap seats, those of us that don't know about babies being born without having a sperm, because women have sperm in them, because I don't know nothing about that.
A
lot of people get, I think it's called chimerism or chimerism, I'm not pronouncing it right, they get that confused with, because all it just states is a fertilized egg merging with another fertilized egg and creating one being with the same DNA, with types of DNA, and they tend to get that confused with, the egg fertilized itself.
Okay, hold up. Stop.
But still, how you get a male, though? But I just
because a man creates the sex of the child.
Right,
so explain
correct.
That. I mean, unless exactly. I missed that.
No. Man does create the sex. The woman has the X.
Right.
So Henry,
and the sperm has either
X or
sperm
Y.
Or Y sperm.
Right. I got that in biology class. So the man brings the sex to the child, right?
Correct.
And so a woman doesn't have the ability to create that, right?
No.
Unless there's something wrong going on in the internal ways of thinking, right?
Right, correct.
So how can a woman have a baby? Now, a man can have a baby.
Unless she really put it in her mind what she wants, she can have it, you know. Some women have the power of doing
that. Well, this is a philosophy saying that women were first,
And that's how, and they'll go use a Komodo dragon. You can take a female Komodo dragon. A female Komodo dragon. You put that female Komodo
Maryland.
Dragon on an island. Yes.
A Komodo
yes,
dragon
Tracy.
Ain't a human being.
There are
I know
something.
That, Tracy. I know that, Tracy. I understand that.
Well,
I'm
I ain't make my
three
babies by myself. That's all I got to say. So, yeah.
I was trying
it.
To... I don't agree with the philosophy, but you're trying to ask whether they get
but
the philosophy from.
But I'm
right.
asking, where did they get the philosophy? I mean, where did they dream that up?
They're animals.
Because they're saying women are first. Some people that said man was created first, some people believe women were created first. And I'm just saying they would use the Komodo dragon, the female Komodo dragon, as an example. I don't agree with it. But they're saying a female Komodo dragon... If she doesn't have a male around her, she will come into estrogen, and she will lay all male eggs. That's just a fact. Without no sperm.
Well, you know,
I don't
some
know
people
about
believe
Komodo
in
dragon.
Immaculate conceptions.
I didn't. Wait a minute, hold up. Okay, Komodo dragon.
I know we're not animals, but I'm just saying that process, that's what they're trying to use to refer to
yeah.
that a woman was first, and she fertilized her as similar to that, Tracy. I know we're not animals, but I'm just saying that's the theory, that's all.
But some babies are born with tails.
I don't agree with it, but that's what they say, Tracy.
Some babies are born with tails.
What?
You ever deliver
respect.
A baby with a tail,
doctor?
Never have.
Never. You never did a baby with tails.
There,
I never seen a baby with tails.
There's medical records where babies are born with tails and they extract them at birth.
You know, everything in a book ain't right. I don't care because you know crazy people write books too. Hold on, somebody's out there that got some sense out there. 7-0-3 help me out, somebody.
Off
y'all
the
is
spine,
gone crazy.
Yes.
This kind
I
of summertime and it's getting warm outside. Y'all like, don't drink the Kool-Aid yet. Y'all done lost your mind. Komodo dragons, women having, choosing to check sex with babies and people being born with tails.
Well, because if there is some animals.
It's evidence of a prehensile tail. And it's
some animals have both.
What are you calling, Matt?
Matt, hold on, Diva. Hold on, Bianchi. What did you say, Diva?
I said some animals, the reason why they're forming that argument and trying to base it on the humans is because there are some animals who are born with both sexes. And so a female, if she has male sex and female sex in her, she can
yeah.
fertilize her own egg.
Seahorses can do that and shrimp.
So they're
okay.
trying to put
amphibians.
But there's no evidence of that when it comes to human beings.
Watch Jurassic Park. They have it's the same exact idea. It's all amphibians.
Well, wasn't that a movie?
That's
no,
Star Wars.
It was
I could end up with the queen of the universe.
That was a fictional movie, was it not?
It was a movie, but it's based on hard
times.
It's based on hard
times.
It's based on hard times. There are amphibians can change sexes in order to fertilize their own leg or their own eggs. That's absolutely
amphibians.
True.
Amphibians. Okay, amphibians, right?
Frogs.
Frogs. Yeah. But
well,
not humans.
So
no, there's no
they
evidence.
They call it
human
vestiology.
So humans are now becoming frogs.
When I was in the military.
So if I kiss a frog, can I get a man? Can I get a man?
Get a prince.
Pregnant.
This adds a whole new meaning to the term go fornicate yourself.
Huh?
Well, there are hermaphrodites who do carry both genders, but those are a mutant. There are hermaphrodites born that have the genitals of both sexes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
they can't self-fertilize.
Yeah, they still cannot.
There's
going to be some type of dysfunction there.
You would need a chiropractor when you were done.
You know what? You guys, really, I don't know what you guys are drinking over the weekend.
Doctor, what creates that? When people are born with both sexes, is it something with the mother, the father? What actually creates that?
The same thing that creates gay people. The same thing that creates gay people.
Oh,
who said that?
Who
said that?
Oh,
my God, that was
hard.
People born gay.
It's the uterine you
hurt. Hold up, guys. Hold up.
I want to hit it, doctor.
Hold on, Mike. Hold on. Hey. Wait a minute. Go ahead, Sticks.
What percentage of children are born as hermaphrodites?
Yeah, that's a good question. A very small percentage. Okay.
And
it's sort of what you call ambiguous genitalia.
Which means what? Because you know I'm slow.
You're not sure what it is.
A huge clitoris.
Boy or girl.
Yes.
Very rare.
And there's
actually a famous actress that falls under that category.
Yeah.
We talk about doing all the conferences. Yeah. I won't bring her name up.
No.
Why not?
But they talk about it in all of our conferences. That she fits into that category.
Now, if of course the parents are going to pick one or the other, and it's going to be surgically determined, then
not necessarily.
No.
Is it?
It varies.
Because it depends on what you have or where you are
or how you look. It's real touchy. I've never experienced it. Thank goodness.
What is it when people say that women have a little male in them or a little testosterone in them? What does that mean?
What does it mean? All women have a little testosterone in them.
Okay.
Real little.
Just have a little
tomboy.
Yeah.
Is it tomboy or is it just?
No. What do you
mean?
All women have testosterone.
Really?
All men.
Men have estrogen.
Okay.
Right, doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in very small amounts.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with the X, Y, and Y.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, listen. I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to.
And that's why when men don't get it and a woman says no to them, they cry because that's the
effort. But you know what? He's wrong on the fact that babies do start off with that tail. And sometimes they are born with their tail, not
babies do
you know,
not start off with no tail.
Yeah,
they do start off with
a
tail. All mammals do.
I have
but it's not functioning.
of my embryo of my children. And I never saw a tail. I mean, they look
either.
Like little tadpoles
because
the way they curved up, you know, like a little seashell. But
exactly.
It's most prominent between 31 and 35 days old, and some are born with tails. You can see those pictures, images on your famous Google. They call it vestigiality.
V-E-S-T-I-G-I-A-L-I-T-Y. I'm about to tell you, I have a book here by Dr. York. I think it's called, I got two
Malachi
here,
York?
Actually. Yeah, Sons of Canon.
Oh, my God.
Sons of Canon, and it is another book. I don't want to say the title of that book, but I guess it's okay for me to say it. Are There Black Devils? And he mentions that in both of those books about the tells and children being born. And he also mentioned, I got another book here called The Millennium Book, and he definitely talks about it in that book.
What does
well, why
it
not
matter
just go to a medical journal?
I mean, what is the significance of holding
well,
that?
He was trying to say that different people come from different species and these different things, and so he was going into people who had tells, people who were born with extra fingers, extra toes, you know, saying that they belong to this certain type of species,
right.
And he's like breaking
right.
it down.
And
yeah,
it
that's
was
why.
Evidence that you were from the equine family because you have a hoof and all this other stuff. Yeah. Seriously,
when you're dealing with someone with two different species, they may be able to procreate, but that child or that male cannot be able to procreate. That's what makes human beings white and black. We're the same species, no matter what color, because
right.
we can have babies, and our babies can have babies.
Right, yeah, but that's how
that's
they make
the
mules.
Same species.
Mules are, mules don't breed. Mules are across,
right. Mules
you know,
don't breed. Some humans are born
mules,
with pronounced canine
still.
Teeth.
Yeah,
but they
don't lay
both.
Eggs.
But mules are still like it's the product of they're a byproduct of two of the same species, but they're just called names.
No, donkeys are not horses. No, they're same.
I know
donkeys
are not horses, but a donkey and a horse can breed and make a mule.
Yeah, and the mule has desirable characteristics, and one is strength and endurance.
But the fact of the matter is, no, you have species that may have different names, like a tiger and a lion. They have different names, but they share the same characteristics. They're both part of the feline family.
Yeah, they're,
and
they're
they
part
can
of the
create...
same genus, but they're not the same species. Don't confuse the two.
I'm not saying
they're
the same.
They're part of the cat family, the felines. That's a genus. That's not a species.
A tiger
right.
and a lion should never mate. A lion is lazy. It sleeps for 11 hours.
They have made it tigers
have.
And lions and created this huge creature.
Liger.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Why come human beings can't wiggle their ears like monkeys?
Well, some can.
Well, it's like a polar bear and a grizzly bear.
And Dick Van Dyke could.
A polar
yeah,
bear and a grizzly
bear. Some people can do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like some people can wiggle their nose. I can't.
Yeah, that's what's that? Some people can whistle with the two fingers in their mouth. I never could get that one. I always
I can barely whistle without fingers in my mouth.
They call the human tail a vermiform appendix.
Yep.
And some babies are grown. Some babies are born with some as long as like 6 inches long.
Okay, but
I have books on that. I have books on all that.
That
he speaks about.
Babies are born with defects all the time.
Yeah,
so.
and the tail, you know, that significantly the tail was said to be from a certain race of people only are born with this specific type of tail or these. Like, he really went into detail. He even went into talked about people who may have come from monkeys or monkey species, and he even showed pictures and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, so,
yeah.
Doesn't mean I agree with it because I read it years ago. I'm just saying I have books on that stuff.
CrazyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
We've definitely got our thing together, don't we?
Hey, we're back, and you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I couldn't find a better person than Barry White.
I thought that was Alan
right now.
Yeah.
I thought that was Alex.
It is 39 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. Don't forget that we have an app now. And if you go to your store, your Play Store on your Android or your store on your iPhone, what's the store called on iPhone? What's it called?
I don't have any idea.
And put in what's
the
it called?
App Store.
Oh, okay,
yeah. I like your little I like it, too, because I listen to it on my phone.
Okay, good going. So you can check us out on your phone. It's WSOM, and just type it in, download it. You can actually push and dial right there. I got to work on seeing if we can get you into the computer chat line instead of working these through the local chat line. But hopefully we'll work that out. The number is 347-945-529. Dr. Hill from Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley is here with us. He is our medical correspondent. He's been with me for a long time and a great supporter of mine, and I appreciate him and his family for putting up with me for, I think it's been like 6 or 7 years, Doc.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and because of him, I can actually have the freedom to do what I do, and I appreciate him. It's a Barry White day. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
212, Eric, how you doing, sweetie? Eric, I know you're there. I hit the button. You hit the button. We all hit the button, and your mic is up, and you're awfully quiet. Usually I mute you because you're making too much noise. What? So did you know that women can make a baby by just thinking it?
Oh, yeah.
I wish I can.
I wish.
And she can stop a baby by just not wanting to have one? Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, listen, don't
go
on this campaign trail and say that. Don't do it. If you run for office, don't say what you heard on Tracy and Friends because it could get you killed.
You know, Tracy, have you ever had like a feminist on your show before?
No, I have not.
Or
I would, you know, I would be interested in that. I really would like
a feminist.
Because I just
you know
I would
how,
be interested.
Do you
I know
how far away
be...
we would be?
Feminists
after you give
be...
birth, why don't you come on our show?
I'm not a feminist. It's
not a feminist.
You.
No.
Feminists tend
don't...
to be very hypocritical. Hypocritical.
What upsets me just a tad bit about feminists is they seem to kind of almost speak against motherhood and being a mother and wanting to have children. They seem to kind of dread that. That's the only little thing about the whole feminist thing. Like they call themselves feminists, but they're not necessarily feminine, if you know what I mean. So
Go ahead, Matt.
I was just really quick. They also don't practice what they preach. I got into it with a feminist not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, as a matter of fact. And I had caught her on her Facebook page using the C word about somebody who she had a disagreement with at one point. I use the term correctly, the term whore, when describing somebody who was indeed sleeping with somebody for money, and she went off on me for using the term whore, and when I called her out for using the C word, she blocked me from her page. So they tend to be very hypocritical. I don't like them.
You have to also be careful of those who call themselves feminists compared to those who are actually feminists, because when you have somebody like Beyonce and she considers herself a feminist, and I'm like, do you even understand what that term really means? Because when you do your research on that whole movement, it came out of their disregard and their how they felt about the women and female relationship, and how they didn't, they felt like even being in a traditional marriage was considered taking away their power, their feminine, their female power.
Whoa, one at a time, guys. Hold up. Go ahead. One at a time. Matt, go ahead. I think it was Matt. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, real quick. See, with the feminist stuff, I don't like the terminology, but where any movement starts, there was a reason for that movement. I'm just saying, some housewives were staying home, their husbands were, you know, cheating on them, divorced them, and they'd be 50 years old with no degree, no school, because they stayed home. I'm saying, in that movement, there was reasons for a movement to start, because some men didn't treat women right.
Hold on, guys. Wait a minute. We need to define what a feminist is, because you guys are all over the board.
And that definition evolves in time.
Yes, I mean there are feminists who are
just
about
like
women's rights. There are feminists that are all about women power. There are feminists that believe that we ought to be Amazons and men are just puppets. So you got to understand, when you look at feminists and you look at that term is all over the place.
And it's just like racism.
It's been taken over by the Amazon types.
It came from women who had a disregard for men, who looked at the who tried to co-opt the women's suffrage movement. Because the women's suffrage movement is completely different than a feminist movement. And when you do all your research on the feminist movement of the past, most of those women had a... How should I say? They just had this, they liked other women, and they had a disregard for the female-male relationship. And they had a strong disregard. And they would see a woman in a traditional marriage, if she was submissive to her husband, having a problem with that.
Yeah, because
Billie
Jean King would be a feminist.
They were not accepting of other alternative lifestyles.
Yeah, Billie Jean King, I believe, would be a feminist, more so
One of the
than...
founders of the feminist movement, either Gloria Friedan or Betty Friedan or Gloria Steinem, one of them, got married late in life. It was on 60 Minutes about 4 or 5 years ago, and now she's all happy now. She has a man, and they're saying, well, aren't you a sellout to the movement? And she had some interesting comments on that, but she finally now has a man in her life, and she's happy.
So And when you look at the feminine movement, it's really all over the place.
Yeah.
I'll do my best to try to find somebody that I could possibly have a conversation with without losing my complete mind.
You're a real feminist. Don't get what I'm looking
for. Get someone who can really talk about the history and we can really learn something. Like, please, no Beyonce, no. That's not a feminist. We want real feminists.
We want real militant feminists who wears a necklace made of testicles.
I said, I'm going to try to find somebody that I can actually have a. I don't believe in the feminist movement at all. And I, what are you guys laughing at? I can't take
Nothing,
y'all
I
nowhere.
Didn't say that.
What Mike just said.
I said, we want a real feminist, a real militant feminist. Somebody who walks into your studio wearing a necklace made of testicles.
That's what they want to do. They want to string a man's testicles around their neck and wear it proud.
Right. I'll use them when I need them, and not until. That's their motto.
Now wait a minute. Not all women are like that.
Real feminists are like that.
Not
they
all of them.
A real feminist,
power.
Yes, they are. They just have no regard for the male species. They just have a disregard for them.
Our job is to help them procreate, and beyond that, they have no need for us.
So,
right.
And hold on. And that's what the world is coming to, if I'm not mistaken. Because if you notice, we are disregarding the male. We have no use for men anymore.
That's right.
I don't know about
we just
you.
We try,
you know.
I'm serious. I mean, if you look at how society is running right now, we are trying to erase the male seed. We feel as men should be doing nothing but actually, he should provide a seed, move furniture, and take care of the car, and that's about it.
And take out the trash. Don't forget that part.
And bring
that's
home
right.
a big paycheck, which he has no
he
say
mean,
over.
He doesn't have to bring home a paycheck anymore because I got my own bacon.
Oh,
hey, Tracy.
No, Tracy, you got it wrong. We just want a man to just lay next to us. That's it.
Tracy, ask the doctor, can a person be born
homosexual? So we want a man, hold on, we want a man to lay next to us and roll over like a dog.
No, he ain't even got roll over. We just want him in the bed. It don't matter if he come in at 4 o'clock in the morning after being with so and so down the street. He just needs to be in my. He just needs to be in my bed. That's it. That's what it comes down.
Tracy
to.
Asked the doctor, "Can a male person be born homosexual?"
I don't know.
Pionki, why are you coming up with crazy stuff? You just crazy today. Look, you need to take your meds today. You ain't been on your meds today.
See,
if people born with their
that's
sexuality,
those
is it,
topics
or is it
of conversation.
Yeah,
is sexuality nurture or is it nature, doctor?
We don't know.
No, well,
and he doesn't answer that.
Is it true that in identical twins,
Sam.
There's a high percentage of one is gay and one is straight? Is that true? I heard that statistic quoted by the gay community.
Say that again.
In the gay community, they quote a statistic that in identical twins, of the same gender, they say there's a high percentage that one is gay and one is straight. Is that true?
Well, I don't know. Jason Collins' brother is not gay, and he is, and they're identical twins. I don't know.
But
right.
You know what? Let me touch on this just really quick, because the doctor said earlier that
hold on, guys. One at a time.
The doctor said earlier, and I've heard it before, that there's always a small amount of estrogen in a man and vice versa in a woman. So, you know, maybe perhaps it is possible, and there's a higher percentage of estrogen. I'm not sure how you would measure estrogen, but, you know, if that's the case, maybe the answer is yes. There
when
is
the
a possibility you can be born gay.
When the
but actually, hold on, guys, but right. You have to realize if it was just that simple, that information would be out there, I promise you. So it must not be that simple because they're still trying to prove that you can be born and or not born gay. If it was a simple test that you said, okay, I have this X amount of estrogen and I have X amount of testosterone in me, which makes me this or makes me that, I think it's a sum total of a lot of things, and it's very, very, I believe, because a lot of people are gay based upon their environment and or their upbringing.
Yep. Hence the conversation we had yesterday.
Well,
I got another question for the doctor.
Don't ask nothing stupid, Pionki.
No, this is a question I'm asking about the anal tract. And also, is there consequences for sperm being deposited in people's bellies? And also, what's the consequences for the anal tract? Wait a minute.
Tell you don't ask nothing stupid. I just said,
really
I only got 5-10 minutes before I'm at the end of my day.
Tracy?
What'd you say?
Education. This is education. We had to dot it while we got him. I would get it.
What is the anal tract? Is it designed from outside penetration? What's the consequences for that occurring all the time?
Oh, my gosh.
What's
that's
the
a good
consequences?
Question.
Like anything else, you stuck a broom up your, you know, what, over time you're going to
have a problem.
Yeah.
There's
you know,
no
the
elasticity
gonna get
in the
so how is that a crazy question, Tracy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if people drink old turkey every morning, or Ripple, yeah, you can't find that no more.
It's going to ruin their liver.
So it's not. So hold on. So that's you guys. I'm not even going to go there today. It's just the end of the day. Y'all just special. See what happens when you come on, Doc.
Yeah. Yeah.
See the kind of questions they ask you.
I think the baby's got a question.
He said I did. He said I did.
And Missy, how many children do you have?
I guess the question
I'm on
asking the good doctor.
I'm on lucky number 3.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be another boy. I got a girl, and I'm going to have another boy. Yeah.
Well, I commend you for having your children and not aborting them.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
So what Pionki is really asking the doctor is passing fluids during oral sex. Is there any, other than STDs, is there any known hazard if both parties are healthy?
I would think not, no. Okay. Other than potential STDs.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, there's nothing harmful in the natural fluids when the individuals are healthy.
Not that I'm aware of. Is that something that you're interested in doing? I don't know. Where are we going?
Well, I'm trying to clarify for Piyaka.
Yeah, I was asking what the long-term effects
is. It makes it sound more effective than it is. They just all upset about
it.
What's the long-term effect of digesting sperm?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Get right to the point.
You
now.
Well,
how much have you digested so far?
Yeah, I know. The doctor has the statistics side. He's enjoyed this. That's why he was saying the OTDYN.
How
like
much have you digested
like
so far?
Labor.
And how are you feeling?
I detested the whole notion, but I was just wondering.
Well, how much have you ingested so far?
Well, you don't want to really know my preferences.
No.
I came out like Michael Sam did.
This is a family show.
I came out like Sam did a few times ago with Trace's program.
440, your mic is on.
There is one danger. There is one more danger. If you grip the back of her head too hard,
put your glass of beer down too hard on her head, you could hurt her.
Hey. Hurt both parties, gonna hurt him and hurt her when he busts her mouth.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's too early for this, Tracy. It is too
early
for this.
Wait a minute. This is a
family
show.
It's a family show.
They don't know where
there's preschool ladies and little kids out there.
That person is banned from the show for the next month.
Don't hurt a girl who in a past life was a rabbi. You're in trouble.
Oh, my goodness. You got...
Ooh.
Jeez. What are y'all smoking today? I know it rained last night, but, you know...
That went quickly.
Thank you,
Mike. That went very quickly.
Man.
Doc Hill.
Yeah.
You... I'm a bad... He's a man.
OBGYN on the show. What you expect?
So these are all the questions you wanted to ask the doctor but couldn't?
But the doctor isn't Dr. Ruth.
Hey, Tracy, do you want me to read your disclaimer right now or later?
Would you please?
The opinions on the show do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Tracy Winbush or the Tracy and Friends radio program here on 600 WSOM, Youngstown, Ohio. Thank you.
I think that's banned. The opinions and practices suggested on this show are not necessary for everybody.
Yep. You guys
are
right today.
Definitely not get this on Rush or Hannity.
Absolutely not.
This would never
happen. We need to be syndicated.
We really
this is worse than my... I mean, if
we on
today we got a court between Howard Stern.
We need to go on...
Delilah.
Satellite radio.
Who is Delilah? 212. Hey, Eric, your mic is on. Can you ask some sanity, clarity? Can you help out?
I don't know. It's been a crazy show today.
Let's be G-rated.
Can you ask a question that, like, you know, I don't even know what to ask now. I'm done.
Where do babies come from? The stork. Okay.
Thank you very much. That's what I thought.
Don't shoot the stork.
Why is the stork always drunk?
I actually used to believe that. When I found out the truth, I cried like a baby.
You know, my little girl asked me that.
We were watching some videos on baby stuff, and she said, "Well, now can we watch a YouTube video to find out where babies come from?" I was like, "Oh God!" I didn't even know how to respond to that. When I found out my mom and my dad, I was just like, "Oh, I cried."
You know what, guys? You guys are YouTuber, so special, and I love you guys so much. And I'm praying for all y'all because y'all need Jesus. I am at the end of my day.
According to the doctor, he wasn't possible.
I got to sign off. Doc Hill, thank you so much for being a part of our show and being with us and being our supporter. Styx, I don't know.
Styx is
my man.
How
come Styx don't come on with some good topics like he used to on energy and stuff like that?
Because he won't work. I quit giving him a paycheck and they quit at work.
Alternative energy systems and that.
We'll have to start doing some research. I've been slacking off.
He's been slacking off. But I will say
I
this
want
next week on
Tuesday to come back.
Oh, so you want to go back to that?
What's that?
Yes.
Heartbeat Thursdays. Heartbeat Wednesdays, was it Tuesdays?
No, it's Heartbeat Tuesdays.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. Next week we will be talking about the Nigerian women that have been lost. We'll be talking about sex slaves and people that have been abducted over in parts of the country and as well as in the United States and over in Africa. I want to thank Dr. Hill again. Thanks, Stix. Thank you all for listening in. Thank you all who have called in. I'm praying for y'all. And we'll see you guys on tomorrow. The number is 347-945-5229. Don't forget about the app. You can go to your app store and or your Play Store and go to WSOM, download it, and you can listen and call us right from there. And remember, we're on iHeartRadio. We're also on www.600wsom.com and Tracy and Friends. And we'll see you again tomorrow. God bless.
You guys
so,
are wild.
How? This show do come on before 9 o'clock. Well, Deep, I have to apologize. We was in that argument. I thought it was only from 9 to 11.
It's from 9 to noon on the East Coast, but on the West Coast it starts really.
Well, here in we in Central Standard Time, and I tuned in about 8:45, and they was talking.
Yep, about you. If you weren't here. We've been talking about you for weeks now, first hour.
I wish I could have saw that doctor's face while everybody was talking. I know he was laughing.
Oh, of course he was. He's got a great sense of humor.
What about Tracy's face?
Yeah.
I like
your idea, Mente, about bringing on a real feminist. Cause
well,
you're
I
like,
wanted
those,
to...
Other than
yeah,
standing,
I,
nobody
I do.
Really
I really want to hear... Yeah, because, you know, a lot of times what happens is people have people on their show, and the person is not legit to speak about what they're talking about.
Right.
Right.
So that makes everybody a part of it look crazy as ever, and it's not fair. you know what I mean?
If you do your real research, man, most of them women in the beginning of that movement were either they were gay, lesbians, or bisexual, and they did not want to be
and they
locked.
Wanted equal pay. They wanted
and they didn't
want to
be locked.
Right.
No, it was more about they did not want to be locked into a traditional relationship with a man. They did not want
right.
to be
right.
labeled. They systematically wanted to destroy the female-male relationship.
But,
and the way to do it was by...
No.
I
wouldn't say that because Pam Bell was a feminist. If you read about, if you remember literature, if you even went to college for a year for basic, English class, we had to read about Pam Bell, and she was a feminist. And she made a point, like I love this story she told about the corners and the porch, and she was saying that if a man's on the corner, he looks very masculine and it looks good. But if a woman was to stand on the corner, she's automatically labeled as a whore. You know, like stuff like that and how her father didn't like to see her mother on the porch. Like, you know, different stuff like that. So things like that make sense to me because I can agree with that, you know, as far as the male and female stereotypes and stuff like that. But
yes.
I don't think all of them were so much lesbian women. I mean, you got to look at the conditions.
When
that what
movement
was
the
going
feminist movement was about equal pay. You cannot pass legislation to change somebody's opinion, how they feel about you. It was about equal
feminist
pay.
Feminist suffrage
right,
movement
exactly.
and the feminist movement are two separate things. The women's suffrage movement was about the equality of women and women not being looked at as chattel and women had basically being looked at because before women were just looked at as property. You'd be seen
well, that
enough.
Was way back around the 50s, but we're talking about the Virginia Slim period.
It's completely different. It was completely different. All they were they
the
were
Virginia,
all about,
can
all
I, can
about
I go,
breaking down the typical ideal of what a woman, because all that bra burning and all that crap, I'm like, really? If men got to wear drawers to hold up their junk, why do you feel the need you don't have to wear a bra?
Yeah, that's
well,
crazy.
Yeah, you're right.
So
but
I spent like
$40
on my bra. I ain't burning my bra. Please.
There was no law that said women had to wear a bra.
What?
There was no laws that said women had to wear
bras.
But that whole movement was about equal pay for women, though. in the, that that period
okay,
of time during the Virginia Slim
period.
And
corporate mobility
now the
and all
movement.
That stuff.
Now, who is controlling the movement for gender equal pay and gender equal positions in the military?
That was illegal. That was illegal. That was a legitimate claim because people that was in that type of arrangement, they wanted to have access to those benefits that would have been afforded to a female or a male spouse in a male and female relationship. Then
well,
you had others who came in on an emotional standpoint.
But we want people to, women to serve on the front lines like men and things of that nature. The National Violence Against Women's Act, which women group held that? Was that a feminist movement or was that a woman, just women in general?
What do you mean? The feminist movement of today is not the same as the feminist movement of yesterday. They have good points and they have good causes now because you have women who are just looking at it from a female perspective, like, okay, we need to have recognition as women. We need to, if I'm doing the same job as a man, then I need to get paid the same amount because factual is that sometimes happen.
And then men would counter.
It was completely
men would
different.
Counter. Men
it,
would counter and say you didn't have the output.
See, now that's kind of crazy because, see, I don't know why some women can't deal with handling that the strength of a man is not the same as the strength of a woman. I don't care if you, Layla Ali, even she said, I wouldn't go into the ring and box a man because the strength of a man doesn't match the strength of a woman. And that's what I love about her because she's a woman who's married with children and she'll tell you that. So I don't think it's always about a gender thing. You know, women working in, like, for example, women who work with, you know, helping the railroads and stuff like that. What's it called? MTA workers. My friend said there's some women that they can't lift that stuff up. Women that don't do nothing, he said. He said it was one woman that was just irritating him because she was just standing there and she couldn't do anything. She couldn't help the men at all.
The feminist movement wants to destroy that barrier. They want that they want the understanding to go away. That's the true method. That's the true cause of the feminist movement is they don't want any barriers. They don't want any difference between man and female. What Layla Ali said goes against the core of the feminine movement because they feel like a woman should be able to be in the ring with a man, which is stupid. Because just because you can possibly
you can't get mad at how it is. A woman could push out a baby. A man doesn't have a body made for that.
Right.
These women are missing the principle of a man and a woman. You understand what I'm saying?
But having said that, you personally can't put every woman in this box, and that's why you have that movement.
So you think
Listen to me, ma'am. I think us men need a responsibility. When women have a crusade and say, I want to be a construction worker, I want to get paid the same amount, us men should let them do that work. Don't say, move to the side. Let her pick that box up. If she cannot do it, you dock her, you write